With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donna Coleon Show, Block Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Or GeorgiaGossip.com.
WGAG Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Donna Coleon Show. I just felt that it was great to bring in Yusuf El Show, The Rules of the Game, on Blog Talk Radio. He has like 59 minutes remaining. Prison labor booms in the U.S. as low-cost inmates brings billions. This is what he's talking about today, and what we're going to do, I'm going to bring him his show on in, so we're simulcasting for an hour until the show goes off. Please welcome y'all, everybody. No, it's already on, so you just got to just pick up where you left off, where he's taking off at. All right, here we go. This is Yusuf El Show. Private Side Solution, The Rules to the Game. Only this is actually high-frequency radio as well, so we're simulcasting. Give me 1 minute. Here we go.
Just make up charges, add charges, do anything, because behind the scenes, you're dealing with a greedy, slimy motherfucker. So that's why you'll see is, why are they putting all these charges on me? I didn't do this. I didn't do that right. Now you know why. They're putting charges on you because it's about making money, and they don't give a damn about you, whether you're white, black, a Mexican, or whatever. They don't care. They want to make money off. This is about making money. This is a money-making activity. Anyway. Do we have any questions out there? Oh, well, let me finish the procedure before I get into that. When these people, once you enter that plea of not guilty, it's basically a wrap from there, because they got the liability on you. And this is when you have to learn how to accept the charges for value and consideration, how you have to tender some bonds. Maybe you can use some GSA bonds. That's what I choose to use from the General Service Administration, 24, 25, and 25A, 90 and 91, and a standard form 28. I put an international bill of exchange with that, and also put an affidavit of truth with it. And when I come into the courtroom, I read my affidavit of truth into the record. And in that affidavit of truth, I basically put these people on blast, because an affidavit has to be answered. Now, a lot of times they don't want to answer them. They don't want to answer them. But I put an affidavit of truth in. You got to put affidavits in to court. The only thing that matters in court are affidavits, not motions. Motions are requests. You're attempting to move to court. They are fictions of law. They don't have any facts. The charges they're giving you are all made up. Ain't nobody finna come and swear to that shit. And you don't need to traverse those charges anyway. So you don't even need to be thinking about going into a trial. Not in one of their little fake kangaroo courts. These are fake kangaroo courts, trust me. Let me give y'all a little hint. Check this out. You go into a courtroom. Ask them, and when they ask you how do you plead, you could ask them something like this. You could say, I'll be more than happy to enter a plea into the record, or I'll be more than happy to give you my name if you can show me the charges have formally been entered into the record. What you'll see what these motherfuckers will do a lot of times, they'll get you to plead guilty to something, and the prosecutor ain't even read the charges into the record. Now, a trick that they've been doing lately is the prosecutor will come and she or he will read the charges into the record, but they're going to take themselves off of the case. Because when they put that thing on record, they're taking a very big chance. A very big chance. And they are so desperate they'll do. I've had judges that won't read the charges into the record. Because who's ever reading those charges into the record is the individual that's claiming to have a claim against you. And if they have a claim against you, that motherfucker better have an affidavit to support it under penalty of perjury. Because this is all civil. It is about claims. They're making claims. That's why it's a debt collection. Debt collection is about money. And there is no money to pay for anything. All the money is being derived from you. They want your signature. I don't sign shit when I get arrested. Why the hell I got to sign something? I ain't here voluntary. I'm not finna sign a goddamn thing. You want to send me to prison, you going to do it without me getting my signature. This is what's going on. It's the game they're playing. And behind the scenes, because y'all out here don't know what's going on, when you get behind those walls, especially on the federal side and everything, the whole country is the federal government's prison. When they see that you won't give in and won't sign something, they put you on a plane and drag you all over the country. Don't tell your people where you are. Don't let you make phone calls. And y'all ask me sitting out here wondering what the hell is going on. And these people done straight kidnapped you. That's why they got a Title 18, 241, and 242. Because the people who made this shit up had to put something in line to protect themselves so the shit don't happen to them. It's called color of law violations. This ain't no real law. They claim they got a contract on you. And you coming into this court claiming that you're a man of God, or claiming you are Moore, or Native American, Yamasee, Washita, Moore. They don't give a damn. You ain't been living your life like that. You out here using Federal Reserve notes, going to the club, doing all these different things. You haven't demonstrated that your life is in compliance with this stuff. You have a social security number. You looked at as a merchant. They don't give a damn about that. That's okay. That's fine. We know what your status is. Now, who going to pay this right here? Because now that you done told me you got the proper status, that means to me that you really understand what's going on, because you have the standing and the capacity to come in here and carry a bond, and you should be able to come in here and pay for this. I told y'all the same thing when you get a passport. When you get a passport, they ask for your birth certificate. Because when you travel to another country, you got to be bonded against a public charge. That's why they want your birth certificate. I found that out by reading naturalization. That's why they're kicking people out of this country. When you come over here, you don't have a social security number, and you don't have a birth certificate, they're kicking your ass out when you get arrested because they don't have no way to collect on you. And that's what the consuls are for. I got somebody calling in with a question. Yeah. 302-4248, you're on high frequency radio. What's happening? 302-4248. All right, y'all take your hand down. But anyway, this is what's going on. I see you smiling, Don. This is what's going on out there, all right? Got another question coming in. Let's see. 808-8068, you on high frequency radio. What's going on?
Peace, Lord. I love your energy, brother. That was crazy because I was just coming to just look at the archives and, you know what I'm saying, and get a download. I had heard a brother playing you, and so I went and checked it out. And then I got there, you was right on. It was like, it was like what I needed to hear. And it's not necessarily the actual words, just your energy. Just let me know, like, hey, no, this is real. You know, say so you don't be. It's 9 o'clock here in the West Coast, so you don't have this kind of passion in the morning for something that's fictitious. But I guess the question I wanted to ask was, let's say if you had a case that was like a child custody case, and they've already made a decision, And in this case, they had there was some civil rights violations, for not a better term to use. They were using some of the officers were using words that are not appropriate for a moor to hear, would make him want to fight.
Okay, here's the thing, what you got to do, man. First of all, understand that everything is commercial. And
right.
There are 10 maxims of commercial law that everybody would be wise to commit that shit to memory. The 10 maxims of commercial law is what it's called.
Okay.
All right. And the first one is the workman is always is worthy of his hire. And then they talk about truth. The only thing that's relevant is truth, and truth can only be expressed in the form of an affidavit and so forth. But what you always want to do when dealing with these people is that the people are correct to a certain degree. It is religious to a certain degree when dealing with this stuff, because the only thing that's always at play is natural law. All law derives from natural law, even its statutory codes. The statutes are codified from the common law, and the common law is codified from natural law, the laws of nature. All right. If you cannot trace any law back to the laws of nature, then it's some bullshit law. It is some man is arbitrarily pronouncing because he's attempting to he's trying to be your God in essence, and he's a damn fool for trying that. That'd be the biggest, dumbest mistake he could ever make. But I'm going to put up a link for these 10 maxims of commercial law. So let's say, okay, you're dealing with somebody, the case is already over. First of all, what you want to do is you can always challenge subject matter jurisdiction. You have to get back in the court. Any way that you can, you got to get back in court.
Okay.
You got to get access back to the record.
Okay.
That's the thing about being fucked up when you're in jail after they've already sentenced you, and it's so hard to get out because they already got you in there. They got you under a contract, and you can't get access back to the record to void the contract out. Now, they got this thing called a habeas corpus, which they got I think it's 2241 and a 2244. I forgot the exact numbers of it. But, see, those are really like bullshit habeas corpuses because they are colorable because they're statutory. They're not common law habeas corpus. Habeas corpus means to bring the body forth. It's a major writ that you're supposed to be able to institute, but there aren't any Article III courts to do a habeas corpus, a real one. So you got to do this statutory bullshit habeas corpus that these fucking judges are going to sit on their ass. They're supposed to answer within a certain amount of time, and when they see you got a real good case, they take their fucking time answering it.
Oh, I got a real good case. I mean, brother, I think I got one of those kind of cases, and this is only in my, you know how you go over your situation in your head and you kind of see your outcomes?
Right.
Or the outcomes you perceive yourself having with what seems to be, your position or, you know, saying what affidavit of truth you may be bringing or whatever truth you may be bringing.
Right.
In my situation, yeah, I was listening to you talk about the lawyer, because I had a lawyer in this case, and the lawyer, I'll just tell you, the guardian ad litem said, well, when I was a police officer, I used to just keep niggers in their place. And I said, what? This is after I had already paid the guy. He's already worked on my case. I said, man, I don't want to hear that. He's like, oh, well, let me explain to you what nigger is. See, there could be white niggers. Black. I said, man, I don't want to hear that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling him. So he keeps on going. So I said, look, I don't give a fuck who you are. I will stick your head up. You know, hold it off on it, you know. But so then they pressed charges on me, and this guy was an ex-judge, an ex-cop. You know what I'm saying? He made it through all their little statues, but he ended up being this guardian ad litem. So I ended up having to get a – well, no, my lawyer got off my case because he's like, well, why are you threatening to kill the guardian ad litem? I said, because this guy's, you know, calling me and my people out of their name. And this is before I really was conscious. I've always been conscious of my life, but just the Moorish thing and, you know, saying our true, you know, saying who we are as this real person, whatever, I wasn't really truly conscious of that yet. But so the lawyer he gets off my case, and then he calls the guardian litem, then he gets back on. The guardian litem tries to call me and apologize. You know the guy brings up the N-word again to me. So then I start threatening again, threatening to kill him again. He ends up dying. But before he died, because all the messages I left him was, hey, man, I really don't want to have no problems with you, but I'm not going to pay anybody any money that's calling me, my people out of their name that brings up the hurt that makes us want to fight you. So before he died, he gave me the money back, the actual, what do you call that when you give the...
Retainer?
Exactly. He gave me the retainer back. So I have this retainer, and I haven't been able to see my child in 13 years, so I went and got another lawyer. So then I brought that lawyer into court. They're playing games with me. The mom's playing games with me. She's bitter, you know, so she's got remarried, and she's calling my daughter last name another name, another different last name. And this is the funny part about it, brother, because I'm arguing to my daughter, that's not your last name. Your last name is my last name. And you could appreciate the irony of this because we're both wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to put, the straw man, the ex, the second straw man name they put on her, and put her back into the straw man that I put on her. You know what I'm saying? Because now that I'm conscious of what I was saying and doing. But regardless of that, they told me that I have a mental problem because I was insisting that my child go after her own name. And I was saying that because our family has always been pretty smart, and I've done 3 TV commercials in my life, and I've had a really great life up until this point in the commercial world. And I was just concerned with her doing charity work and things that got her into a good college, because this is the things that I did, you know, saying work, doing charity work at a Rotary Club or whatever, and I got into different colleges, and I always felt like, well, if you don't have your using your name that no one can recognize you from, then you always have to do this explaining. And so I was trying to set her on this course that, you know, whatever you do in your childhood right now, it will help you later on in your life as an adult. But they determined that I was crazy. The funnier side about this is they tried to send me to a psychiatrist that they already had sent me to when they locked me up for threatening the people. So I didn't go. So 5 years later, I haven't seen my child. And I guess the point I was wondering was, how do I go back in with affidavit to use, you know, saying, you know, the maxims of law to show where this is natural law for my child and I to, you know, saying, have a relationship and for me to be in her life as a parent.
Man, let me tell you something. I understand exactly. I went through something similar to what you're going through with my children. You know, women coming in, want to get remarried, change the last name of the child, all that bitter, malicious, you know, type bullshit. You know, you the type of father wants to see your child. They want to keep you from the child. You don't give a damn about the child. They're trying to drag you through the system. So I know what you went through on that. I just want to say I can feel you very strongly on that right there. But let me just say this. There's a thing called challenging subject matter jurisdiction that is at now let me just let you be aware of this, that they are not supposed to ignore. All right, but they will try. Challenging subject matter jurisdiction is not a discretion, supposedly, but you know, you're dealing with fake ass judges, and I hope they're out there listening, because they're very dishonorable people. Right, and just taking people's children and doing all this, and they don't really care about this, but you are supposed to be able to challenge subject matter jurisdiction at any time, even from a jail cell. And they are supposed to bring you back into court with a court reporter and show on record that they had jurisdiction over the proceeding. Subject matter jurisdiction can be challenged at any time. So that's one way I would be attacking them.
Okay.
But the first way thing I would do is I would address your wife. I would start sending her correspondence, and I start charging her. First thing I'm going to charge her with is changing my daughter's name.
Okay.
That's going to cost you $2 million.
Yep. And, you know, the school district's putting it out there with her name in the wrong place, too.
You're going to start charging her. And you're going to tell her for every day that you don't change your daughter's name back is an additional $5,000. And you're going to give her 10 days to respond. And you're going to demonstrate how, because you can go in these laws, and in the maxims of law, you can see where it talks about the father and his children. You're going to have to dig through the common law and see that, and that's what you're going to use. Don't use no statutory codes. Don't use none of that. Come at her like that right there and send a letter and say, this is how much it's going to cost you. All right?
Okay.
Malicious because you done injured me. The next thing you're going to do, you make sure you get all these public officials, everybody have anything to do with your case, you go get their bond and their oath of office and you put their ass on notice and you let them know that you are a public servant, you ain't a public master, you ain't running shit. You're not going to take my goddamn kids. I'm dealing with somebody right now going through a similar situation. You got to let these people know you're not playing with their ass. I will take every fucking thing that you own. I will take everything. You got that power to do that, to take everything that they own and what they're testing you on. They want to see if you really know how to do it. They want to see, do you really know how to do a non-judicial strict foreclosure?
Yeah. That's what's crazy about that is those are some of the thoughts that I had in my mind, and you're kind of letting me know, like, hey, you know, go down that road. But, you know, without the experience, it's like you just go in there and you just see everybody getting done. And it's like it's almost like they do that so you can gain up some fear.
Well, that is exactly what it is. And any of my people that's been around me that tell you to say, well, why I talk the way that I do is because I understand that fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. That is the biggest thing that you have to overcome when you are dealing with these courts is fear. The fear of going in there talking, fear of stand. Like, for instance, you don't even need to go over that bar. When you come in there, stand right behind that bar and talk. Don't get them. That bar is for people who are licensed to practice law. And you need a license to do business. You stand back there, I need to stand. They may have a bailiff come over and run up. You don't come over to the bar, you're not going to blah, blah, blah. And you just calmly look at them and you say, I'm going to talk right here. And we're going to go on the record. You make sure there's a court reporter in there. And you read an affidavit of truth into the record. See, there's the thing that why you're doing this with your wife. Let me tell you why you're doing this with your wife. And it's not really so much to be malicious. It's really to let her know you're not playing with her because she's trying to take some rights and be malicious. And if she want to be malicious, it's going to be a consequence for that. All right, because all you're really concerned with is a love for your child. But you're doing it
right.
Process against her, so when you take her back into the court, this judge, you want to keep this judge in a ministerial capacity. That is not a judge that you're dealing with. That is an administrator, because they are in there enforcing statutes. Anytime a judge is enforcing statutes, I don't care if it's the United States Code or a state code, they are acting administratively and not judicially. They are taking Article III judges out of Article III courts and allowing them to sit in Article I legislative tribunals. That is why on the federal level, y'all, they have sentencing guidelines. They are if you got checks and balances, this is simple shit that I try to tell people. If your government is set up where you form checks and balances on each other, how is the legislature telling judges what to do? That's the whole point of checks and balances, to not allow another branch to tell another branch how to run the operation. That's because you're not in an Article III court. They're not in their own court. They're bringing them over into Article I court. Read Article I, Section 8, Clause 9. It tells you they can set up their own court system. It's a commercial court.
Okay.
Let me jump in here right quick. I want you all to go take deep breaths. My brother, I'm in the same situation as you. I've gone through it before. My kids are grown now. What I want you to think about is this. That whatever actions you take, your objective is to reestablish a relationship with your daughter. Correct?
Right.
All right. So let's keep that objective in the very forefront.
Right, right. You know, believe me, I haven't told you the whole story because.
Yeah, I understand that. This is what I want you to understand, though.
I'm overly emotional side of it.
That's cool, too. It's a reason that it's a subject matter that's going to generate emotions. But here's what we have to keep our minds on. Because when your emotions kick in, your reasoning patterns shut down.
Right.
All right? Any emotions, anger or love, either one, it shuts your reasoning down. So you have to, if you have to write it out on a piece of paper and pin it to the mirror, paste it on the wall somewhere, you have to make sure that your actions are moving you towards connection with your daughter. Now, I'm not necessarily convinced that attacking the mother is going to do that. I'm not necessarily convinced that you might not have a safer route, a more
effective. Well, they have a restraining order on me and the mother and the child.
Okay.
And the restraining order is not there because I did anything to the mother. The restraining order is there because I told the mother's father that my mother was Islamic, and she put the rules down, and no man should be getting in the bathtub with that little girl, period. And if it keeps on, you're good as out of here. And you have to stay. But they've got the they gave the restraining order for the daughter, I mean, on my daughter and the mother because of this. So it wasn't like I was this bad person. I was actually really successful at rap music, and I make the beats, so I'm in the background. But I was really successful and paying all these lawyers and paying all this money and not seeing my child. I'm $30,000 in the lawyers and maybe seeing my child over these 13 years, 10 hours.
That's stealing. That's motherfucking, that's the type of shit I'm talking about. See, the attorney ain't going, man, the attorney's not, y'all put all y'all faith in these attorneys. I hear this, listen, y'all, let me tell you something. Let me turn. I was a jailhouse. I was dealing with people. I've looked at thousands of discoveries. I've helped people get out of jail. Every single case, I see the same shit. I've had talked to people who were major drug dealers, who were over in Haiti moving 30,000 keys a month. And I've talked to people who fly. I've talked to people who paid their attorneys millions of dollars. And when I look at the paperwork, it's always the same shit. I'm tired of this game these attorneys are playing with you. They're stealing your life. They're stealing your children. They're stealing your property. And then you're dealing with one attorney, but then you got to go and ask another one for help. 98% of your government is attorneys. Obama and Michelle are attorneys. Your governor is an attorney. Your congressmen are attorneys. You're going to ask, this motherfucker's fucking over you, and you think you're going to go to another one and ask him for some help, and he's going to help you? This is why the original 13th Amendment was put in place, not to allow attorneys to hold public office. Y'all need to get these attorneys out of office. Don't vote for no attorney. Attorney is not going to go against another attorney. Even if it's professional courtesy. I asked an attorney one. Ask him a question. I asked this attorney one. I said, man, how many cases you don't want? Do you know they only want about 2% of their cases? 2%. So you mean to tell me you went to college for 4 years, you went to law school for 3 years, you did some understudy, and your ass came out and went in practice. All you want is 2% of your cases? Y'all see what's going on? You gonna keep falling for this trick over and over and over and over and over again? They sit here and put it in your face. We running slave plantations. They shipping all the jobs overseas, so we're going to make this into a industrial complex over here in the United States now. And we're going to use all these niggas and all these Mexicans and all these poor white trash. We're going to put them in jail. We're going to make them be our slave labor. Now, y'all might not like the way I spit this, but I'm going to give it the way it is. Because we got too many shows where they give that shit to you with honey and shit. I'm going to tell you what's going on. And a lot of these cats that's telling y'all this stuff, they don't even know what the fuck is going on because they ain't never been in jail. The ones get out of jail too ashamed to come out and talk to y'all. I don't give a damn what you think about me, but I'm going to tell you what's really going on. These people moving you around, they are actively engaged in an act. They are taking your money and not doing nothing. Sitting on cases. Oh, he's a great attorney. You know, that's so-and-so and so-and-so. He can help you out. You still ain't seen your daughter.
Exactly. You know what? That's exactly what they said. I mean, the attorney I have, brother, it's funny because I will tell you this. I have love for you. I have love for you. This is the first time I ever met you, heard you, and I have love for you already. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you this. That's exactly the attorney I had. This attorney worked on major cases with the what's that girl that was sleeping with her student. This is the same attorney. You know what I'm saying? He got the white chick off and getting in that. You know what I'm saying? And she's sleeping with her students. He get her just some little a year in jail or some bullshit. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not seeing my child at all. And the guardian ad litem was calling us niggers. And the attorney had the money right there. All he do is go in there and say, hey, this guardian ad litem's calling this guy out of his name.
But see, what you got to do with that attorney, that's another problem that we got as people. We don't follow the maxim of law that the written word remains forever and the spoken word flies out the window. We like to jump on the phone and call people or go down and pay them a visit and talk to them. I don't do any of that. If he would call me a nigger, write him a letter, certified mail affidavit of mailing. On such and such and such a date, you called me a nigger. This is going to cost you X, Y, and Z amount of dollars. Here is an affidavit supporting that. If you want to challenge that, you can issue me an affidavit countering it. That's how commercial law works. It's a battle of affidavits, but it has to be in writing. So I'm gonna put something in writing, send it to him, support it with an affidavit, let him deny it, because now he has to deny it. And if he don't want to deny it, I can say, here you go, Your Honor. I wrote him a letter telling him what he said to me. I supported it with an affidavit. He didn't challenge it. Now, what the hell are you talking about? And that judge can't do anything against
it. You
understand?
Gave me a great idea.
But you got to give somebody, the reason I say, I'm not trying to challenge your ex-wife, the reason I say you got to, she's injured you.
No, you right on that point. You know what I'm saying? I got to go tear her up.
Let me say this. No, don't think like that. But always be.
Well, you know what I mean.
Before you do this, though, because you didn't tell me you had a restraining order, file a motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction and get you another court date. That's the first thing. And then make sure you got all your stuff arranged. And serve that judge in his personal capacity. Write him a letter with a certified mail with a restricted endorsement and file a bond into the case. And bring them back into court. Because, see, let me tell you something. When they don't have jurisdiction, every order that they issued is void. Not voidable, it's void.
And it's possible I can prove they didn't have jurisdiction?
Yes, well, they don't. They don't never have jurisdiction. Yes, you can prove it. But you got to educate yourself. But they don't never have jurisdiction. Now, here's what they do, though, because let me tell you what you're dealing with now. You're dealing with dishonorable people. You always got to keep this in mind.
Right.
You're not dealing with upstanding citizens. You're dealing with trash, especially when you're dealing with lower courts, because these are dishonorable people. They already know that a challenge to subject matter jurisdiction is not a discretionary motion, that they got to reply to it, but they're always trying to figure out some kind of way of not to reply to it or dismiss your case for some procedural issue or something like that. So you're going to have to be very careful in how you draft your pleadings to these people. But you need to get back in court because they're stealing your child. Now, I don't know all the particulars about your case because there's always two sides to every story. I ain't telling you.
Let me say this. I put it on my heart. The only thing that I did wrong was threaten the father. And it just barrel rolled out of there.
What's a knee-jerk reaction? You know what I'm saying? I can understand that. You know, that's your daughter. You know what I'm saying? That's your daughter. So, let me tell you this, man. It don't matter what that woman do. It's always going to be your daughter.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know what type of games they be playing in their mind and everything, but it's always going to be your daughter. All right?
It's always going to be your daughter. So, but it's two sides to everything. But the thing is, when you start addressing these courts, you got to understand that you're dealing with an Article I court. You're not dealing with a court of law. These are contract, probate, admiralty, equity courts. These are not courts of law. These are trust courts. Your daughter, if you go and look back and look at your marriage certificate, which nobody should ever sign another one, because a marriage is just looked at as a business, a contract. A marriage is just a contract. All right? You do not need to go to these people and get permission to get married. The Most High gave you the permission to get married. You don't need these assholes in your business. But when you read this, you'll see it will show you that the issue of this union shall be given to the state. Notwithstanding the fact that you gave them a birth certificate, social security card, and all this other stuff, and you've given them this authority over you and your child. So you're going to have to address all those issues first. Now, the wife is a part of the husband. And really, to tell you the truth, a lot of this stuff is biblical because women really, in a Christian society, don't have no authority to get remarried. Because in the Bible, under the New Testament, Jesus said if you marry a divorced woman, you commit adultery. But they don't ever see that shit. They claim to be Christians and follow Jesus, but they don't ever want to pay attention to that. Like, they roll over that shit like they don't see it.
Woo, tear them up, brother. Tear them up. Tear them up. That's what's up.
That's
like
why you
when, I like when I see the law and the Bible come together.
All
that's one of my favorite.
So, bring that into the court. Bring it into the court. Say she's in bed. Because, you know, you got to understand that these courts are supposed to be based. That's why they have you swear on the Bible. Okay, well, if you're going to have me swear on the Bible, let's open this shit up and look at it. This is where all the laws coming from in the country. This is a Christian country. If you was in a Muslim country, it would be the Sharia, which is the Quran. But in this country right here, it's the Bible. And it don't matter if you're Christian or not or how you feel about it. That's what the law is, unless you're under some type of treaty where you have an agreement to be adjudicated under some other law. Which is what the Treaty of Peace and Friendship is all about.
Right, right. Yeah, you know,
so you're in this country.
Use those laws.
We had a brother on this show. He went to trial and used the Bible on the property laws and won. You are being looked at as a heathen because you don't have no law regulating yourself. Everything in the universe obeys the law. If you sit around here thinking that you have to pay no law, you is a damn fool. Don't let these old sovereign citizens don't obey the law. Everything in the universe is subject to law. But the only thing that is real law is don't change. If it's changing, it's not a real law. The only thing that's not change is natural law. That's why when you look in any law book, including the Westlaw Business Dictionary, when you see them outline the law, it'll always start with natural law, and then it'll go into positive law. You want to beat these people, you got to use the laws of nature, and you got to be an expert in it. The founding fathers in this country were not Christians, they were deists. They obeyed natural law. And when you look in the Bible, it has natural law principles. Forget the characters. There's a spiritual reason why they say that. Why if a woman can't get remarried, all these different, it's some type of cause and effect that's causing. Because every time a woman has sex with a different man, that's a spirit. It's a spiritual activity going on. And people want to ignore all of this. So use some of that. Use whatever weapons you have. But the first thing you got to do is you got to get back into court. Don't write her first. Don't do that because they'll try to come and arrest you or something like that. Address the court first because you got a restraining order on. You don't know enough to do all that. But find somewhere to start studying. Address that court first and get you another court date.
Well,
and get back into court.
I have actually sent paperwork to her and not broken the restraining order.
Well, I'm not going to advise you to do any of that. I'll try to go study subject matter jurisdiction.
Okay.
You can Google it on the internet, it'll pop up. motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction, put an affidavit with it, put a supporting affidavit with it as to why, stating that you're a real living soul, you're not subject to a commercial, something, you know what I'm saying? Get somebody who knows a little bit about this subject to put it together for you and go back into this court. I really hate dealing with these courts. I'm going to be for real with you because they're kangaroo courts, first of all. They're not courts of law. They private trading companies is what they really are. That's why they're doing all these bonds. Every time you do a case, they're trading it on the stock market as a municipal bond or something like that. So you always need to keep that in mind. That's what people, I try to tell people. They try to, oh, we're going to court, just stand on your religion and all that. Man, you can't, every time they get you a case number, there's a bond on the case. What you think they're going to do with that bond? Somebody got to pay that. That's why they're giving you such a hard time. They need somebody to pay this thing. Either you going to pay it, the prosecutor going to pay it, somebody going to pay it. But it's going to get paid. And if you don't believe me, just start looking in your codes and all this stuff. You'll see it. One thing about these people, what they don't do is they, or what they do is they always operate under what's called plausible deniability. In other words, we put it in a book. Now, if you didn't understand what you were reading, that's not our goddamn fault. Because ignorance of the law is no excuse. Now, we're talking about the law. We're not talking about legal. Because what they'll do is they'll say, well, you're giving legal advice. Legal is Article 1. Lawful is Article 3. Legal is commercial. Lawful is God, the creator, nature. Know the difference between the two. These folk people are enforcing commercial statutes. The police aren't nothing but revenue agents for a corporation. The only true law is the sheriff. He's the law of the land. He's the constitutional authority.
Man, you're the real Django, huh?
But I hope I have. I got to take a few other phone calls, man. My board is lighting up.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much for all that information.
No problem, man. Go out there, get, you know, and like my co-host said, man, you do want to reestablish your relationship with your daughter. That's what's important. But as a father and to other fathers out there, I know how you're feeling, you know, because the system is set up, you know, to, you know, it seems like to take your rights away. But at the same time, we do need to start examining ourselves and some of the things that we are doing because we ourselves are not acting in accordance with the laws of nature and doing some of the things we're supposed to do because we're bringing a lot of these problems on ourselves. One thing
yeah,
I have a component of.
I've already paid $58,000 in child support, and I just haven't seen my child.
You need to bring that up. Dude, you ain't got an order for visitation or nothing like that?
Nah, brother. They gave me no visitation, man. They said I
nah,
couldn't
get visitation. Nah, you need to go back in on that.
That's right.
Hit me on the email. I might can hit you. I'll give you some suggestions on some things you can do, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, email us because if you're paying for visitation. Mm-hmm. You're paying for the right to have visitation and access to your child. That's what that fee is for. So you're being denied due process just because you're paying. The paying is to make sure, even if it's supervised, you're paying to make sure you see your child.
Hit that judge with some biblical quotes. I mean, let's look at it common sense. What judge wants to be made to look bad because they dishonoring the Bible?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I got you.
Nobody wants to look like that. You know, I said, well, the Bible, you know, it's like I got on my stream, Matthew 5:25. It says, agree with your adversary while you're on the way to court with him. That's right there in the Bible. 2,000 years ago, they were talking about debtors' prisons. You say you won't be let out until you pay the last penny. Right there, Matthew 5:25. You can read it. Jesus said it. I'm not saying this shit. He said. They're doing the same thing. It's the same thing they're doing today, y'all. Debtors' prisons have been around for centuries. This is not any. You can go back to Edward I in 1100, and that's what the statute merchant was. They was talking about this. They were doing the same thing. These people ain't that creative. They ain't made this stuff up. They just building stuff off of what their forefathers did and just making it and modernizing it. That's all they're doing. They're not that smart.
They just been given, they've been privy to information.
Right, right. Right.
Let me take another call, man. But thank you for calling in. All right, hit us up, okay?
Hey, thank you. You've been inspirational. Now, and I'm gonna keep listening, and I'm gonna go download and get to studying so I can actually communicate with the language you're speaking.
I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. Get a couple more callers in here. Let me see. We got 302. 4248, you're on High Frequency Radio.
Peace, brother. This is Najee. I'm talking on a whole different subject. When you were telling us about the FIN number, is the DUNS number attached to the FIN number, the DUNS number?
What do you mean FIN number? What are you talking about FIN number?
I mean the EIN.
EIN number on what? What are you referencing? You know, what document are you talking about?
All I wanted to know was a DUNS number attached to it.
I mean, a DUNS number is a number that you is assigned to corporations. Duns & Bradstreet is a private company that basically operates for businesses the same way the credit reporting agencies operate for individual people. All right? And it's just a credit reporting agency. All right, so when you get a DUNS number for your business, that's basically a record keeping to demonstrate the credit worthiness of your business. That's what that's for. An EIN number is an employer identification number. That is for tax purposes for your particular business. Now, depending on what type of entity that you choose to operate under, and the IRS identifies seven major types of entities, and they are from a sole proprietorship, association, company, corporation, estate, trust, and trust is the one that you want to be operating out of, because that's the ultimate vehicle.
Right. That's the private side, right?
That's the private side. And then you have an estate and you have a corporation. You also want to set you up an estate and you want to set you up a corporation. And you want to put your corporation and your estate inside of your trust.
Right, right.
Those numbers are for. But you need to arrange your commercial affairs in a certain kind of way so you can get these people off of your back. Now, there is a way to actually, get rid of your social security number, collapse of the trust. There's a lot of people out there doing research on that, but that's beyond the scope of what I'm talking about right now. But, hopefully I'll give you some clarification on what a Duns & Bradstreet number is.
I got that.
That's establishing credit for your corporation.
Okay. I heard it in class yesterday that there was a Duns number attached to the N number, and I never heard you speak on that. That's why,
Right.
But that what I see, what they're saying is they're doing some things in the public with that. Am I right with that?
You can operate. That's how you want to operate. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, look at the foreclosures. When they come and foreclose on you, they come and foreclose in the name of a trust. You don't ever really know who the real principals are on your foreclosure because in a trust situation, the beneficiary doesn't have to be revealed. That's why it's called private. And
remember,
one of the rules of the game is public and private don't mix. They're never going to put private information into the public. You don't either. So if you want to maintain your privacy, then you need to know how to use some type of persona when dealing with the public, because a trust is a person, a corporation is a person, an estate is a person, an individual is a person. That's one of the biggest tricks they play on y'all is that word individual. Individual is an entity, and when you look up the word entity, that is a corporation. An individual is not a real living soul.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you, my brother. That's what I wanted to know. You pretty much gave me my answer right there, like you always do. So,
peace, Brian. Let me take another call. 302-7419. You're on High Frequency Radio. How can I help you?
Peace, brother. Yusuf Mill.
Peace, bro.
What I wanted to know is, I was hearing people last week you tell the judge I accept these charges for you are the trustee. I mean, I am the beneficiary, and I appoint you to trustee. I accept these charges for value and return them to you at, for value to zero out my account. How would you do that in a civic matter?
I mean, it's all civil, all right? I mean, it depends on what type of civil matter you're talking about, but you're always the creditor. Now, this only works for public debt, all right? Only public debt, and you should have already have done a administrative process. And let me tell y'all something. This goes on criminal cases, because I'm talking about criminal, because criminal is civil, too, all right? Once you conduct an administrative process, sometimes you can file a bankruptcy to dismiss a case as well. An involuntary bankruptcy. Originally, involuntary bankruptcies were all involuntary. Okay, with the change that came about, now the debtor files bankruptcy. But it was a time when the only people to file the bankruptcy were the creditors. If you owed me some money and you didn't pay me, I'd go take you to bankruptcy court. Now, when they didn't switch it around. When you owe me some money, I'm trying to get my money, you go file bankruptcy for protection. Well, what it is, you got this thing called a delinquent creditor. That's an individual who's not doing what they're supposed to be doing in discharging the debt. Now, they got a document on the internet that I find very interesting that is allegedly written by a judge. I don't know if he's a real judge or not, but a lot of the things that he's saying in there, how, now when you learn this information, you can read certain information, you can tell who knows something and who doesn't. And this particular document is written by a man named Judge Dale, and it's Adventures in America, and you can Google it on the internet. But anyway, on part five of that document, it tells you about using your birth certificate. I have personally known people who have gotten rid of criminal cases filing bankruptcy, because you got to understand it is a debt collection. Now, the only thing is he talks about in there how you can put your birth certificate and use it as an asset. But the thing about it is, to make it work, you need to find the CUSIP number for your birth certificate to make it work, or the judge is going to dismiss the case for frivolousness. So the right. CUSIP numbers are very important in putting together a prima facie case if you're going to get somebody out of prison, if you're going to discharge some debt, get rid of criminal cases and all these things, because you need evidence to put before the court to demonstrate that these particular matters are commercial, because the whole thing that they're trying to do is hide the fact that it's commercial. And they got good reason and good cause to do that, you know, because there are individuals who do not need to be privy to this information. However, they are in the minority. These people have gotten out of hand. They're arresting everybody and anyone for anything, all for the sake of creating a huge slave labor force. And I have a problem with that. We have to get these people back under control. So, yes, you know, in a civil matter, you need to conduct an administrative process first before you ever get – you win before you get to court, not when you get in court. A court is a place where disputes are resolved, all right?
Right.
But these courts are not courts of law. They're administrative courts. The judge is acting as an administrator. So when you come before that judge, you need to have documentation to demonstrate that you've already attempted to resolve this matter privately. You were unable to do so. You acted honorably, because this is a debt collection. There isn't any money. All they need is your signature. They have refused to accept your tender or your offer of satisfaction. This is what 3603 and 3311 are about in the UCC. You have had a third party witness to witness the entire transaction. That's the purpose of a notary. She's issued you a protest certificate, which can only be controverted by a jury trial. How you find that out is you read an American jurisprudence. You go take your ass to the law library, crack open an illegal encyclopedia and read about notaries to find out what their powers are. And you take it back and educate their ass, because they don't be knowing. And then you take it and you file it in the court in the proper term of court. And you don't ask for proceeding, you're asking for judicial review of your administrative process. You're filing a bill in equity. Your remedy is res judicata, which means this thing has already been adjudicated. This judge should issue an order in your favor.
That's how you do an administrative process. But you got to know the first thing that they got everybody fooled with, they got y'all really believing this some type of law and order shit or court TV or Judge Judy or some shit. I don't know. And it's not any of those things. So, yeah, you can do this in any civil action if as long as it's involving a public debt. You cannot do this against another private individual who's giving right. you substance. If somebody's giving you substance, you cannot do it. When somebody's not giving you nothing, you can do it because nothing from nothing equals nothing. But if somebody's giving you something, this is why you can get arrested for these car pay-her-buy-her car lots because they've actually given you something. They can have you arrested, but a finance company can't because they didn't give you nothing. I got some more calls to take. Did I answer your question, bro?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, let me go to the next call. 412998, you're on High Frequency Radio. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, brother? Joseph, this is Sim.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. Hey, listen, I'm just going to piggyback off of the last caller about the UCC stuff and the CUSIP. A friend of mine and I, we're trying to take care of our UCC filing, but he has a question. He's not available right now, so if he wants to ask a question, and I want to see if you could help me out, and then we'll re-listen to it tonight.
Let me hold you right there. Hold on to your thought. We got 3 minutes left on the stream, y'all. I know the time goes by fast. And let me answer Don's question. Is it appears or is? What are you asking me, Don? Appears or is? I just saw that. But type it in, I answered. The thing is, our stream is about to end. Okay, now listen to me closely. All right? You got to call in now. If you call in, you will not be able to hear the rest of the show, the last hour of the show. You can catch it later on if you want to in the archive section and download it and listen to the entire show. But the number you have to call in is 424-222-5250. Once again, that number is 424-222-5250. Let me put that in the chat room. And I want to welcome Don Nicolian. She's simulcasting the show along with the after party. I want to give all of you out there a big up, everybody out there who's listening to the show, because we're getting an end today. I just want to thank you, Don Nicolian. Y'all need to check out our show. That's a real sister. That's a real sister. Motherfucking beast over there, Don Nicolian. Love that girl. You check her out, all right? Y'all need to check out our show. But we got about another minute and 44 seconds left. Once again, that number is 424-222-5250. 424-222-5250. We're going to get it in on High Frequency Radio. We're going to talk about this thing. Y'all got a couple of things. Y'all got some questions. Another thing, y'all need to call in and ask some questions about these things. Cause I know all of y'all, and y'all got this stuff. She said, oh, I guess they can listen in on her show. At she said you can call in 347-884-9239. Or you can go to her website. She put it up in the chat room. Go over to her website, and you might can keep streaming, too. So go over there and check the Don Nicolian show out. She put up her link in the chat room. And you can click on, and you can continue listening over there on the Internet over there as well. Y'all want to keep on listening on the Internet. Yeah, she said, yes, she can. So click on the Don Nicolian show. Y'all might want to check out, too, like I said. That's my sister. She
She's already dropping some good information over there. Very intelligent, enlightened sister. Y'all need to know about her. And she has an after party and everything where they get it in over there, and they talk about a lot of things over there, too. So we're going to be getting it in. So once again, you need to either call in over here, or you can go over there on her show, and you can continue to listen to it on the Internet. And I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be I ain't going to take no quick break because we're going to continue the simulcast. We don't even need to do that. We're going to keep it moving. And I ain't going to take no break. Let's keep going. Okay, Sam, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, now go ahead now on with your question, bro. What was your question?
All right, it's going to be a four-part question. So the first one is he wants to know can he claim his mom on his UCC filing? And also his girlfriend, child, he wants to also know if he can claim that even though it is not his biological child.
Well, let me tell you like this. In our society, it's all about claims. And when you issue a claim, somebody has to issue a counterclaim. I would think that it would become an issue of whether or not the mother is competent enough to conduct her own commercial affairs. And I don't see a problem with that as long as your mother probably gives some power of attorney to him. You probably don't even need to have a UCC-1. You just need to, you know, have her issue a full power of attorney to you. And, you know, that probably would alleviate all of that and then put everything into a trust. But yes, I mean, you can claim anything you want. You know, especially if you got the permission, and then what you do is you file a UCC-1, and then what I would do, you got to understand about the Uniform Commercial Code. The Uniform Commercial Code allows for creativity. It is a collection of rules that tells you what you can't do, but it doesn't tell you what you can do. So you can get as creative as you want with the uniform. That is what it does. It is for creativity. So you can be as creative as you want to be as long as you don't violate any of the principles that regulate commercial law. And that's why I was telling everybody they should learn those 10 maxims of commercial law. So you can get as creative as you want to get. People always ask, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do this? I mean, like, there aren't any hard and fast rules like that, you know, as far as what you can do. You can be as creative as you want to be. It's all about claims. Let me tell you something. Somebody can bring you into court and say, hey, Sam, I went to the moon, and I have a contract with you to go to the moon, and I got moon rocks. And you owe me $1 million for my moon rocks. I need to get paid. And you'd be like, how'd you get to the moon? You know, you don't work for NASA or nothing like that. But all that is irrelevant. Because what they're going to do is they're going to issue a claim to you, and you better know how to respond to it. That's why in these foreclosures, when they send you a letter, they said, I'm an attorney. You got 30 days to respond. We're going to presume this debt is valid. It's a presumption. It's not a fact. They don't have any fact. What you have in law is what's called stipulations, agreements to what facts are. You don't have no facts. So you can agree to anything. It's a contract court. And the sooner you learn that, that's going to give you some insight into what the judge is doing to you in court. Because the judge is asking you questions or making statements, but what they're really doing is contracting with you. And depending on how you respond, will determine whether or not you get locked into a contract. And they are experts at contract law, and you're not. You have verbal contracts. You got express contracts. You got implied contracts. When you come into court and they say, all rise, and you stand up, you made an implied contract that you were serving. I need to stand up to a public servant. He comes in. I don't have to stand up to you. What law says I got to stand up when he comes into the courtroom? So
yeah,
all these little things are going on because all the time before they even get you in the proceeding, they're trying to establish jurisdiction over you. All these little things that they do. So can he file claims? You can file claims on anything you want. You know what I'm saying? But I would get permission. I would get, you know, maybe a power of attorney or some type of written affidavit from someone so you don't get, like from the mother in a situation like with that child. You can be creative. It can't tell you what you want. It's property.
Everything is about property. What is your property? If she wants to turn over, relinquish control of some property, you can do that. Or you can just tell her to form a trust, put her children and everything into a trust, and then and tell him to be the trustee of the trust. Because it's not about ownership, it's about control. People who own things have liability. People who own things are at the bottom of the barrel. People who control things are the people who are moving and shakers of the world. Ownership has liability associated with it. You don't never want liability.
Right. Okay. The second question, I think it might be just two questions, but the second question is we're trying to figure out how to find the accused number. I know last week a sister came on and she was telling how to go about getting a CUSIP. Is there a way, I know besides listening back to the audio again, is there a way I can find this out in the Dropbox that you have available?
Yes, I got information in the Dropbox about finding CUSIP numbers, but the thing is when you attempt to find a CUSIP number, Fidelity Mutual website constantly changes what they're doing, and they are monitoring people who attempt to go and find CUSIP numbers for court cases, birth certificates, and things of that nature. Let's keep it real, y'all. These people are not stupid, all right? They're not just going to allow you to come in and walk in and tear down a system. That's why another thing, now y'all hear me, I talk aggressive and gruff on these shows, but one thing that you don't want to do is you don't ever want to become an enemy of the state. But which, so you always want to be honorable in your affairs. Remember my four rules. There is no money. Public and private don't mix. Stay in honor at all costs. And do not participate in public plays when called into court. It's a play when you go into that courtroom. There ain't no doubt about it. I know for a fact it's a play every time you go in there. It's some type of stage presentation. But what you don't ever want to do is you don't want to tear down the system. Because that's what they're doing. They're protecting the system. That's what a police officer will tell you. He say, I have a duty to protect the public. But you are not the public. You are private. You don't work for the government. So understand that distinction first of all. So when you're getting these CUSIP numbers and all these things is, you should be doing it with a mindset that you are trying to conduct your commercial affairs properly. That you're trying to assist the government in paying their bills. Because as a citizen, under the Constitution, it tells you the debt shall not be questioned. Right now, there's $16 trillion in debt, and this country operates off the full faith and credit of the citizens of this country. And that equates to your birth certificate and your labor or your commercial energy. And a workman is always worthy of his hire, so no one can tell you how much you're worth, and that is why your exemption is unlimited. So why the hell do you give a damn about giving him a $20 million bill of exchange or a $20 trillion bill of exchange? You don't give a damn. Give him your commercial energy. Let him have it. You're taking benefits and privileges. You live in this country. So don't argue with these people. So, yeah, go ahead, get your CUSIP numbers, do the things that you need to do to get rid of whatever situation that you're in. These people are going to act dishonorable. They are. That's what they do. They're dishonorable, and they have a reason to be because, of course, you don't want everybody to know this information. So they can't make it easy. You're going to jump through some hoops. You're going to get tested. You claim that you are a man, that you're just a spiritual person and so forth. If you're so spiritual, the one thing a spiritual person doesn't have is fear. That's the first thing a spiritual person addresses is fear. That's the first thing that you address, fear and doubt. That is what's preventing you from using your mental powers. So when they come into court and they start screaming and hollering at you, threatening you, doing all these things, and you succumb to fear, you just testified in court that you ain't this spiritual person. You ain't nothing but a man. You're not like what it says in Genesis 3:22 when it says the man has become one of us. You're not like what it says in Psalms 82:6 where the Most High calls you a God or Elohim. You're not like what Jesus said in John 10:34. Is it not written in your law that you are gods? You don't have no control over yourself.
Okay, let me take another call. Unless I got somebody calling in. Did I answer your question, Sam?
It does. But do you mind taking one last question?
Go ahead, one more question.
All right. I was on the websites checking out how to get the QSIP, and after going through the Dropbox, it tells me I have to go to QSIP.com. When I went to QSIP.com, it says that we have to get a UCC filing statement first to get the number.
That's correct. You do. You need a UCC, and that's why you file your when you file on your birth certificate, you do that first. I told people that on the last show. Before you send anything off to the Treasury Department or anything like that, you file a claim against your birth certificate. They're going to give you a UCC-1 filing number, and then you take that to QSIP. I got the instructions for the whole thing.
All right. My question now is that on the UCC, I'm looking at the form. There's an upper and a lower, which is the debtor, additional debtors, and secure party. Is there in your Dropbox the proper way of filling it? Because I know the distinction between all upper letters and upper lower letters means different things to them.
Yeah, that corporation is always going to be in. The debtor is always a corporation. You're never the debtor. You're the real living soul, so you're going to be in upper and lowercase letters. So yeah, that is a debtor, and that's going. But the whole key to that thing is that organizational ID number, and you can put either the state identification number there or the birth certificate number on your birth certificate. And you should put the birth certificate number there, or right. That state that SID number. One of those two numbers. Use that number. But that is what is important about identifying, because that is an entity and it has to be identified as such. And that is the number that's going to identify it as such. And a lot of brothers out there filling out these UCC-1s don't fill in that number right there properly. They put all type of crazy shit right there.
That's very true. And that's why I haven't done mine for a while. Because
that is the key to that whole thing. Don, I see you out there, but I don't see that number that you're asking me there. You know, you said area code. It came off. You want to call back in? Let me see. I was just about to chime you in. Okay, so I guess they hung up. I'll take the next call. But that's how you fill that out. And they do have stuff in there to show you how to fill out the UCC-1 in the Dropbox. So get with me. You know, I'm gonna give you a call. I'm gonna call you later. I've been meaning to get in contact, which I really have. I've just been real busy. I've been doing seminars and a lot of different things like that.
I know.
No, I don't see the call. She said, I can't push one. I'm calling from the studio. She said, you can't push one. Let me see. 3, 4. Okay, now hold on. Let me see. I don't see you on the list, dear. You know, it didn't pop up. Is it? Oh, wait a minute. I see a 347. I see a 498. 347-498. Is that you? I know she got somebody. Some people got a question. Okay, let me try it.
You can take the next call. Thank you very much. Just get in touch with me when you have the time.
Okay, I will. I'll call you today. I'm going to call you today.
All right.
347-498. You're on high-frequency radio. I'm checking this line.
All right. Is that me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's you. So you putting up
the wrong phone number.
Oh, we got
a call-out number. Give me that number so I can write it down.
You want me to put it over there?
Yes.
Okay, 347-498-0005. That's the number.
All right, we got a call-out number. That's what's up. How you doing, Yusuf?
I'm doing good. How you doing? It's the Don Nicolian, the great one I was talking about earlier. Welcome to the show.
Man, it is such an honor. We had to do it. We had to do it like this because it was so much information. So much knowledge that you was giving us, and we just had to just keep streaming. You know, I come on at 1, but this is the ultimate pleasure right here. And I got a few questions because I'm so damn confused myself. And I know
okay,
that.
Okay, come on,
know,
let's
you,
ride.
You know,
let's ride.
With,
what's
I'm
going
elementary,
on?
Baby. I just started kindergarten, so you got to be. You got to take it easy with me. And I hate to ask you to go way back, but I just start from where we left off with the CUSIP number, okay? If you can just do your best to strive to explain to us. I'm familiar with the CUSIP number because you bought it to me. But when you mention, and plus the previous caller, when you mention how to bring in your birth certificate to charge off a debt, am I right or wrong about that conversation?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct about that. I'll just tell you where I got that from, actually. I got that from a document by an individual named Judge Dale. He claims to be a judge. Now, I don't know if he's a judge or not, but after reading the information, I'd already known about the birth certificate, you bringing in the birth certificate, because the birth certificate is really what they're after. That's why, like I tell everybody, that's why when you get a passport, they ask for your birth certificate. The birth certificate is a bond. It's an American depository receipt. It's a negotiable document of title. So they want that birth certificate is what they want. And people have gone into court and actually in criminal cases and taken in their birth certificate and said, here's the defendant. And the judges will take them. I've given negotiable instruments myself in court. I was in federal court and gave a judge some GSA forms for $20 million, along with an international bill of exchange. And when she played me at first, she said, what is this right here? This doesn't have anything to do with this case. And I'm new because I don't know no better. I'm mixing public with private because I was trying to file it. And you can't file private information into the case. Can't do that. So she looked at it, and she threw it on her desk, telling me it don't have nothing to do with the case, started hollering at me. So I said, I'll tell you what. I said, can I get all that back from you? And she said, hell no. She kept it, got up, took a recess, and I never seen her again. And took all that, and would not give me those bonds back. So they valuable. Don't let them play you now. They want those birth certificates, and they want those new. They look at them things, and they what they hate, though, is they don't want you to know that it's worth something. But when you put it in their hand, well, it's like Christmas to them. So that birth certificate is worth a lot of money. Your birth certificate is money. And when you look at a long form, you'll look at it at the bottom of it, it'll tell you, American Banknote Company. That's what's at the bottom of them. I'm looking at one right now, California birth certificate, American banknote. Why a banknote company is printing up birth certificates? Simple fucking question to ask. So in getting the CUSIP number, your birth certificate, you have to understand it's going from vital statistics to the Department of Commerce to the Department of Treasury. They're issuing treasury bonds. And that's going to the Depository Trust Corporation to a holding company called Seed Corporation. So your birth certificate is being held on the fifth floor of the Depository Trust Corporation because it is a security. And all securities got to have CUSIP numbers. That's what CUSIP stands for, Committee on Uniform Securities Identification Process. So that's how you identify securities. So once that security has an identifier associated with it, it can be put into commerce. They're trading it. It can be tracked. And that is also how once you get a CUSIP number on your negotiable instruments and you tender it for a discharge of your debt, whether it be for a mortgage or a criminal case or something, and you give it to these individuals and they don't do what they're supposed to do, that's when you can put the IRS on them because now that's a securities violation. Now you can really do a 3949A on a most suspicious transaction report. Even though it is a negotiable, what I believe, and I haven't figured this out yet, I think they're using that Rule 144A to monetize all these instruments we're giving them where they don't have CUSIP numbers. Because that's for unregistered securities, what they're dealing in right now. And you got to study Rule 144A a little bit. And I think that's what they're using. Like when you give them a negotiable instrument, they act like you didn't give them nothing or it was worthless or something, but they don't ever give it back. But that's just my opinion. I don't know that for a fact. But that's what a CUSIP number is for. And CUSIP numbers are issued to all securities. When they do your court case, they convert it to a security and sell it. This is why they hold you in jail for longer than 9 months. You get people that'll be in jail
And the county, you see they stay in jail 8-9 months or whatever like that. They hold you in jail at least that long because it takes at least 9 months for a negotiable instrument to be converted to a security. It's 9 months. You can look that up in the United States Code. It tells you any negotiable instrument that has a maturity date over 9 months is a security. And that falls under Article 9 of the Article 8 of the UCC and Article 9. And then they issue a CUSIP number to it. And they do that for all court cases, all mortgages, all car notes, all credit card transactions, and birth certificates. Everything in the United States is being securitized and sold. They done hawked everything. It's called pledging. The same thing you do when you take your car title and go pledge it at TitleMax. It's the same principle that the President Obama did when he needed $1.2 trillion. He did the same thing, only he didn't use a car title, he used a birth certificate. Pledging securities. Did I ask your question there?
Well, yeah, it did. With the Tiffany too. Tiffany in the chat room, and she basically is backing up some of the information with the CUSIP number and the birth certificate being basically.
Yeah, she's a beast with it now.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. No, Tiff. Yeah, she got some information on that.
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting because it goes back to when you when I asked you to hold on, say it again about the bond again, how people basically drew their own bond and issue and bought that into the court.
Yeah, you can do a bond. All bond means is promise, but what you have to do is you have to put it on a piece of paper on, in a pleading format, and basically it says that you promise to cover all costs and charges associated with this case. It's like they're in Georgia. I tell people, I keep directing them to read OCGA 1711-1 and OCGA 1711-4. And it talks about paying the cost of a case and putting a lien on you when you are found guilty. They put a lien on you for the cost. Now, you have two legal words. You have cost, C-O-S-T, and you have cost, C-O-S-T-S, and they are two different words. These are little nuances of the law that get past people. But you should go to a law library. Don't pull that shit up on the internet. You need to get a Georgia book and look it up so you can look up all the case law that's under it so you get a very clear understanding of what they are charging you for. They're charging you for everything, even from them bologna sandwiches that you eat, from the time you're arrested every day. It's a per diem that you're being charged with per day. So it's a bond. They're creating a bond off of that. That's a debt. Anytime that somebody owes you some money, you can put a lien on them. It's like a mechanic's lien. I come and work on your house. You don't pay me, I'm going to put a lien on you. You see what I'm saying? So they got you have violated a statute, and a statute is a bond of record. That's why I told people to look up the word statute merchant. It is a bond. Look up that word, and you will see what it's talking about. And since, too, it'll say commercial bond. I myself have looked at many federal cases, and they got commercial bonds in there. But they'll try to play you like they don't do that anymore. But then when you look and see the paperwork, you'll see, well, okay, well, why you got a commercial bond in here if y'all don't do that anymore? And I just looked up that statute merchant. That's showing you are pledging someone's body for the collection of a debt. So they issue this bond, and people are finding these bonds. I mean, this ain't no pie in the sky. People are finding their bonds and finding the CUSIP numbers to them. They got dudes out there running businesses doing this stuff, finding CUSIP numbers on people, court cases and stuff like that, and they charging people for it. But once you find that CUSIP number, that's prima facie evidence, then you can get in contact with that transfer agent or the broker and tell him, because they got the list, whoever is over that fund, they put their number on Fidelity Mutual website. You call them and let them know, I want to redeem that bond that is in that that's in there. Because the bond gets redeemed once it's paid off. They got to take the bond out of the trust. Same thing if you pay off your house. You pay off your house, they can't keep trading that bond in there. That's fraud. The bond has been paid. Your word is bond. You paid it. You kept your promise. That's why they're keeping this secret, because there is no money. There's no money to pay for anything with. They just need your signature.
That is what is malicious about it, because you are tricking people into slavery or using coercive tactics to put people into slavery. Because everything right now is running off of labor. They need labor. And I understand that. You need people to work at McDonald's and, all these different places. You need somebody that's going to work at these places, you know? Okay, I know you got another question. You want some more clarification?
Man, we got a few questions in the chat room. Okay.
All right, kick it.
Is it okay? Okay. The first question is, Lord Jesus, this is a lot, because you know what? This ain't my question, but this is a statement. We're actually on the Security Exchange Commission site, and it talks about the QSIP number on there, too. So this shit is deep. This is all like a connect the dots type situation, Yusuf. But anyway, damn. Thank you, pretty. But the first question is from Living Soul Journey, and I think it was asking how do they or where would they find the information on setting up a private trust?
I got information on that. I'm gonna have to do it. My co-host, me and my co-host got to work that out today. Because I got to keep my promise to him. And then we are going to actually they're probably listening in too, that I'm working with, and I'm trying to arrange all of that to start putting these trusts together and getting some people who are good with trust. But, yes, that is how everybody – well, you're going to do this for me, everybody out there. Just go to a bank. Go to a bank, Bank of America, Chase, whatever, and ask for their private banking section, private banking, and go in there and sit and talk to these people. I've had the pleasure of talking to someone at Wells Fargo. It was a sister. She was the branch manager. And she told me in confidence, she said, all the wealthy people do this. We need to be doing this. And the more I study, everything points toward a trust. Everything points toward trust. That's how you remain private. That's how they are remaining private. When you look at public law and private law, how you not you don't want to subject yourself to public law, because public law is to regulate public officials. It don't have anything to do with you. The Constitution falls under public law. That's why you don't have constitutional rights. You have constitutionally protected rights, because the Constitution is a limitation on governmental power. It don't have anything to do with you. Your rights come from God. We gave them a constitution to make sure they do not encroach upon our God-given rights. Another man can't give you no rights. Another man can give you benefits and privileges. So you need to know the distinction between public and private if you want to understand. You got to understand the rules of operating on the private side. And the private side is contract law, property law, and tort law, as well as status law. Those are private issues. And if you want to remain on the private side, those are the laws that regulate the private side. And one of them is contract. And that's why we just found out these courts are operating privately, because a corporation can operate privately as well if they're involved in contracts. And contract makes the law. And your Constitution protects contracts. It says that no law can be drafted to infringe upon a contract. Contract makes the law. This is old school stuff I'm giving y'all right here. Contract is the highest law, but there are so many different ways to contract. That's why if you're going to operate privately, you got to be a student of contract law. And trust is a contract, because a trust is an agreement between three parties, a trustor, a trustee, and a beneficiary. It's a contract. So, yes, we're going to be setting those up for everybody. That's a real touchy subject I don't like to talk about too much over the air, but we're going to be doing that very soon. I'm getting into that, because this stuff got to stop, what they're doing. They're taking guns. You know, they're getting nervous because a lot of people are finding this stuff out. It's a lot of people over the country finding this stuff out that I'm kicking to y'all, a lot of people. And trust me, they're monitoring. They're listening to this call right now. But that's also the reason why I'm telling people to be honorable. You're not here to tear down the system. You're not here to be looked at as an enemy of the state. You're here to understand how the system operates. Ain't none of y'all finna pick up no guns and shoot nobody. So get that out of your mouth, that revolutionary talk, and all that bullshit. You just mad because you don't understand. You haven't challenged yourself and raised yourself intellectually to a level where you can meet these people on the intellectual battlefield. So because of your shortcoming, you want to say, forget that shit. Let's fuck that shit. But then you want to turn around and call yourself a god or a goddess. A god or a goddess is is an entity that demonstrates intelligence. That's your number one characteristic. I got a lot of damn calls coming in. I'm going to say something to piss somebody off. Hell no, nigga. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I mean, if you want to go take a call, or I could take a call on my line.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Wanted to make a comment or got a question for Yusuf, you already know if you're on WGAG radio line or high frequency radio line, push one now. Let's keep this shit pushing. Okay, you know I got some more, right?
All right, go ahead, go
somebody,
ahead. I know you.
If anybody
survive.
Push one on your line. Man, good God, Yosef, this shit is too much information. But I'm seeing how all of these private corporations, such as the CUSIP, that website you gave me last week or two with the CUSIP number on it, I can't remember the name of
right.
it. How right. The Security Exchange Commission is linked to these cats as well. May I read to you what they say on their site? What Security Exchange Commission
Yeah, go ahead, go
say?
Ahead.
The CUSIP number, this is on the United States Securities and Exchange Commission site. It says the CUSIP stands for Committee to Uniform Securities Identification Procedures. A CUSIP number identifies most securities, including stocks of all registered U.S. and Canadian companies, and U.S. government and municipal bonds. The CUSIP system, owned by the American Bankers Association and operated by Standard & Poor's Facilities, the clearing and settlement process of securities. The number consists of 9 characters, including letters and numbers, that uniquely identify a company or issuer in the type of security. A similar system
okay,
is
now
used.
Stop. You are an issuer, and
right.
also Standard & Poor's is at the bottom of the Depository Trust Corporation on 55 Water Street.
Whoa.
So all this, and Standard & Poor's is a rating agency. They rate the securities. That's when you get your AAA, AA, and single A rating, and that's why they also always want to do a credit report on you. The credit report is not to qualify you for the car or the house. The credit report is so they're going to be able to rate the security. Because when they pool these securities together, if you got a 700 credit score, they put you in a trust on Wall Street with everybody who got 700 credit scores. So then when they sell it to the investors, they say, look, these people got 700 credit scores. This is guaranteed for 3 years. These people are going to pay their money on time. And then now they can ask for a premium for you to get a certificate for that particular trust. That's what that's all about. It's a game, y'all. And you are the slave labor at the end of it all. Prison bonds are very good because your ass ain't got a choice. You're going to get up and go to work in prison. But they only allow certain people to buy those because they don't keep. That's why the public is not privy to that. There is a very good document on the internet that you can read. It's called The Prison Treaties by Gene Keaton. I'm going to plug Gene on this. It's called The Prison Treaties by Gene Keaton. I'm going to put the link up in my chat room if you want to copy it down and put it up in yours. You'd be very wise to read that because they talk about all this stuff you just talking about, statute staple, statute law. It talks about CUSIP. It gives you even more inside information than what they're talking about and what you're reading right there. Very good document, required reading if you're going to be in this game. And I just put it up right there for everybody in my chat room want to get it. Read that. Read what that man is talking about. How they sell, how these corporations, the entire prison industrial complex is supporting the United. Y'all don't know this. The United States is a group of corporations. Because the United States is invested in all these corporations. They are holding an interest in all these corporations. The United States is a corporation, not a country. They
are a for-profit corporation. Y'all better figure that out. And they're heavily involved into slavery. Y'all think slavery didn't went somewhere? Slavery ain't went nowhere. Slavery just changed form. The new slave today gets to reproduce when he wants to, gets to go to the movies, drive a car, get his own transportation to get back and forth to the plantation, gets to produce other slaves on his own. But you better pay them damn taxes. And another thing, y'all better recognize that word tax. That word tax don't mean what you think it means. Every time you go into a courtroom, you're on a tax case. You better look up the word tax and stop thinking that income tax and sales tax is the only kind of taxes they are. And find out what a tax is, because it's not what you think. Your ass being taxed when you go to prison. Let me play the audio one more time about what's going on in these prisons. I mean, this is just, and then I'll just take another question. I'm gonna just play this one more time because I know we got some new people out there ain't heard it. So let me play this one more time. What is he talking about? This is what I'm talking about right here.
While the rest of the U.S. may be struggling for work, there's currently a real boom of job offers for inmates in the country. But state and some of the biggest private companies are now enjoying the fruits of a cheap and readily available workforce with tens of millions of dollars spent by private prisons to keep their jails full. RT's Gaynor Chichikan takes up the story.
In the U.S., the market for cheap labor is booming behind bars. In the last 15 years, partnership between prisons and private manufacturers has increased significantly. They're becoming America's very own Chinese-style manufacturing line behind prison walls. Prisons, in fact, advertise themselves as such, as an alternative to outsourcing cheap labor to China or elsewhere. On the web, we came across this pitch that prisons prepared to persuade private sector companies to come and do business with them. Take a look.
There's not enough folks that will do this type of work in this country. So therefore, we're bringing back this industry that historically has been going out of this country, and we're putting it, you know, inside the walls. And it's absolutely a perfect idea. I have a workforce that does not have car problems or babysitting problems, etc. They're always here, and they're always willing to come to work.
Bring your business to our labor.
A wide variety of industries take advantage of prison labor. Among many other things, prisoners make clothing, textiles, electronics, furniture, and even solar panels.
Just as we're trying to get China to stop with their prison labor, ours is at the same time increasing.
Hundreds of companies have used prison labor directly or through subcontractors, including Microsoft, Boeing, Starbucks, Victoria's Secret, and others.
They qualify for federal tax breaks. They can get recompensated up to 40% of the wages that they pay to these inmates. We as taxpayers, we have to house, feed, and provide medical care and everything for all of these inmates. We do this as taxpayers. It comes out of the tax pool. And that keeps the actual prison workforce healthy and in shape to go out and perform these jobs for these private companies.
Hard working and reliable. Inmates show up for work every day voluntarily.
Work in prison is mandatory, and the choice many inmates have is whether to work for a government-run prison industry for less than a dollar an hour or a private one for a minimum wage of around $6. Unicor is a government-owned corporation that uses prison labor to produce all kinds of goods, mainly for other government agencies. 175 different types of products and services. You see the variety listed on their website. They, too, partner up with private firms now. Last year, Unicor's revenue reached $900 million. As far as private prisons are concerned, two of the country's biggest prison corporations made $3.3 billion last year alone.
Private prisons are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They are for-profit companies. And the savings that they reap from using inmate labor go to their bottom line. It's money they otherwise don't have to spend in order to keep a facility run.
They trade it on the stock
large
exchange.
Large prison populations and harsh sentences result in greater profits. America's three major private prison companies spend around $45 million over the past 10 years on lobbying state and federal governments for supporting immigrant detention, mandatory minimum sentences, three strikes laws, and other legislative measures that contribute to the growth of America's gigantic prison population.
The U.S. now holds more people behind bars than any other nation, more than 2 million. That's one quarter of all prisoners in the world. From a cost-effectiveness point of view, the $45 million that private prisons have reportedly spent over the past decade lobbying to keep prisons full is peanuts compared to the billions that they make every year. One can argue about the many causes and effects of America's skyrocketing incarceration rate, but since prisons became a for-profit industry in the U.S. 30 years ago, the number of prisoners has gone up dramatically. Not to say that it was the only cause behind the spike, but many argue it was part of it. And now with a cheap labor market expanding behind American bars, one is wondering whether the justice system in the U.S. is adopting market values. In Washington, I'm Ganesh Chakan.
Now, in that right there, you'll notice a couple of things. That first of all, they are lobbying for three strikes. They lobby for longer prison sentences. These are corporations doing this because it's helping their bottom line. The longer you stay in jail, the more money they can make. So now that begins to make sense why you're getting these ridiculous sentences for these bullshit charges. You got to start paying attention to what's going on Wall Street and start educating yourself and being a little bit more sophisticated on what's going on Wall Street. Because Wall Street is the wall that separates the masters from the slaves, the creditors from the debtors, the gods from the mortals. Because on one side of that wall, people are receiving money, and on the other side of that wall, people are paying money. And money doesn't have any definition. It comes in many forms. It comes in the form of labor, energy. Everything is on paper. Everything is running through the depository. The Depository Trust Clearing Corporation is just that. It's a clearing corporation. It's where they settle debts. And when you are in prison, you are paying your debt to society. That is a literal term. You are literally paying a debt. Go and investigate debtors' prisons. In Georgia, I just read this last night. Georgia was a colony where they cleared all the King George, cleared all the debtors' prisons. They made a charter, and that's why it's called Georgia. It's named after King George. Matter of fact, the governor of Georgia just went to England to celebrate. Georgia was a prison colony, but it was a prison colony for debtors. It was a debtors' prison colony. And that's why when you study Georgia's laws, a lot of information is revealed. You'll see more stuff in Georgia's state laws than you'll see in a lot of other states. They reveal a lot more stuff. I'm from Georgia. I know the Georgia statute codes and regulations pretty thoroughly. Study Title 18. That's creditors and debtors. And compare it to what I'm telling you right now. See what they're talking about. But they use different terminology. They don't say a warrant for your arrest. They say writ of attachment, which is the same thing. The words are different, so you won't be able to see. That's what they're doing. They don't want you to be able to see what they're doing. And the first thing they hide from you is the jurisdiction that the court is operating under, which is an Article I court. And under Article I, the prime directive of the legislature is to regulate commerce. Everybody in federal prison right now has an interstate commerce charge. Everybody. Now, what you think? They called it an interstate commerce charge. Then they turn around and say the UCC don't have nothing to do with it, but they say interstate commerce. What, they think you stupid? CFR 72.11 tells you this stuff. I'm not making this stuff up. And I know what I'm talking about because I've been there and I've looked through all the discoveries. I see what they're doing. If you are from another country and you come over into this country, you got to fill out a form when you enter the country from Homeland Security. It has an OMB number on it, which is the Office of Management and Budget. It's a bond. They ask you how much money you got, what you coming over here for, how long you going to be here. Then when you come over here and they arrest you, the first thing they do is they have that piece of paper in your discovery on the top because you gave a bond, which is your promise that this is what you came over here for, and you broke your word. And they're going to cash in that bond. And the first thing they ask you when you're from another country, do you want to talk to your consulate? The consulate is responsible for the commercial affairs of the citizens from their country. And all the time they tell you, just check no. Y'all better see what's going on. You got somebody online right now on the inside. A lot of other brothers ain't seen this stuff I'm telling you. I'm giving y'all information you ain't going to hear nowhere else because they don't know. Because they don't read, they don't study, and then they don't have the insight to. Because a lot of this stuff, you got to have a spiritual odyssey, too, to make the connections. But once somebody show it to you, you'll see it clearly. Get your birth certificate, your long form of your birth certificate, and look at the bottom of it and see what it say. Ask yourself why a banknote company is printing birth certificates. And then here's the key thing too. I want everybody to pay attention to this. Noticing that what y'all just listened to, they kept using the word voluntary. Now, that reporter cleared it up and said working in prison is mandatory. The only decision you got is whether you want to work for $1 an hour or $6 an hour, whether you want to work for the government or work for a private prison. But everything in their system is voluntary consent. Y'all remember that. That'll protect you. One thing they will not do is violate your free will. They got to make you voluntarily do. From the time they arrest you, handcuff you, fingerprint you, take pictures of you, all that is voluntary. Those are all voluntary activities. From the door out to you get released from probation. They're getting you signed documents the whole time. You sign your name million times. Get you to put your signature on everything when you're coming in there. Why the hell you need my signature? I ain't agree to come in here. Y'all gonna send me to prison, send me, but you're not gonna get my fucking signature to go. But then if you don't do that, then they want to hold you in solitary confinement. And then try to act like they're not making you do anything. You don't know what's going on behind these walls. When somebody does try to stand up and try to stand for themselves because they know what's going on, they try to act like they – that's why I call them snakes, devils, and pieces of shit because they try to get on these TV cameras and act like they're upstanding citizens, but behind the scene, they're taking off their mask and let them show you they're straight-up reptilian. And 70% of the people in the American public believe every fucking thing they hear on TV. You got to be kidding me. Were there any more questions?
Yes, I have a question. Oh, Lord. My question is, how do you get over the wall in Wall
Street? Let me tell you something. There's a character assessment that goes with going over the wall. You got to understand, when you go over the wall, and completely private, you get an access to unlimited funds. And I always ask people this question, what you going to do with $100 million? Why would I give somebody $100 million that's going to be an enemy to the United States? You understand what I'm saying? Why would I give you access to vast amounts of wealth when you're going to turn around and use that wealth to attack me? So the first thing you want to demonstrate is that you don't have any type of hidden agendas or in any type of way you are a threat to the United States or their interest. That's number one. You cannot be an enemy of the state. Number two, what type of custodian are you going to be for vast amounts of wealth? Because too much is given, much is required. Are you a businessman or a businesswoman? These are the things, these are prerequisites that you need to understand. Then you need to understand that you're a bank. You need to understand how to draft negotiable instruments, how to put one together. That is what you need to know, the Uniform Commercial Code. Those are the rules of the Monopoly Board. And it is a game of monopoly because the Federal Reserve has monopolized everything. But you don't want to use Federal Reserve notes anymore. You want to use your own negotiable instruments. You want to set up your own bank account and use your own credit. You don't need to use Federal Reserve notes. At least not in the acquisition of taking. The only thing you need Federal Reserve notes is to take care of little minor everyday things like going to the grocery store and things like that. You don't need to be paying any bills with them. You don't need to be paying in car notes, house notes, or any of those things. You just need those for your daily, day-to-day operations. And it's getting to the point you don't even need that because you have a debit card for that now. We're in a cashless society. Only 5% of the money that's in circulation is actually cash. 95% is in electronic format. So before you go over the wall, the first thing there's a character assessment that goes along with this, and that needs to be addressed. A competency issue, as well as if you're honorable. One of the four rules is you got to stay in honor at all costs. You got to be honorable in all your dealings. When you deal with anybody who's in any type of Masonic organization or something like that, they're going to tell you it's about your character. So how you get over the wall is, first of all, address your character, because people are being viewed as, I always say it, like some type of heathen or something. You know, that's what the average person is being looked at as. You don't have any self-governing principles that regulate your life. You're just out there doing any and everything. And then you really expect someone to open a door to you and allow you access. I put a video on my webpage called The 1%. Y'all should watch that video. It's called The 1%. See how these wealthy people think. So that would be my suggestion. I have information that addresses the DTC questionnaires, the wizard form that you have to fill out, arranging you a bank account that where you will have to funnel down or what's called port your negotiable instruments through. I had an attorney tell me that. You know, some of those things that shocked the hell out of me when he told me. But all the information made sense and what it's saying. But really all you are doing is you are setting up a private bank account with routing numbers and everything. When you look at a public bank account, those routing numbers, those ABA numbers, those are not yours. Those are their numbers. They set up their system. You have to set up your own system with the Federal Reserve. And that is what it's all about. You have to become your own bank and do banking. My time is about to end. I got one more caller on the line. I'm going to let them come in real quick. Oh, they hung up. My time's about to end. I know. My stream is coming to an end.
It ain't got to end. Shit. We about to start our show then. About to go to commercial and play some songs when your show ends. And we'll come back. And we got Nefertiti surviving the game. But I want to stay on this shit. This is a very interesting thing, but you really didn't answer my question as far as how to get over the wall. We are very nobility.
You know, that did answer your question. It is, you know, you just wonder, oh, how are we going to fill out the paperwork and do X, Y, Z? I told
you,
I got the phone.
You damn right, boo. You got to tell us
to fill out,
go in the
all
kitchen,
of that other,
open up the refrigerator.
That character is very important. It's a character. You got to know how to be private. All right, you have to learn how to keep your mouth shut and operate in the private. That's why we don't know this information. Everybody who's on the private side know how to keep their mouth. Ain't trying to get this information to nobody. It's not giving this information. This is some of the hardest information in the world to come across. You gonna take yourself. You ain't gonna be doing the Don Nicoleone show anymore. I promise you that.
I bet you I'll be playing number music and fucking commercials. Every now and then you hear the words, I'm rich, bitch. I just find that it's interesting how everything just links to one another.
I'm
everything
rich, bitch.
What the hell was that?
Say what?
What was that?
I had I'm rich bitch already love put
again,
in.
Do it again.
I had already heard it. The plug it.
I'm rich bitch. Please believe it. But I just find it interesting that all of these, you know, everything is linked to one another, from the Federal Reserve to the Treasury to the Security Exchange to the CUSIP. To the Department of Depository Trust. I mean, everything is just linked. It's all linked. That shit is so
incredible. It's a monopoly game. They have monopolized the system. It's a monopoly board. And everything is dealing, the United States is in bankruptcy. They've been taken over by private foreign interests, and they have taken over the entire country. And everything is being routed to them. Everything. And the portal that's happening is through the Wall Street, Depository Trust Corporation, central banks. Everything's been monopolized because the United States owes money, and the only way it can pay its debt is through its citizens. That's it. People gotta wake up and see what's going on, but they don't see when you heard of the word slave, and I can't go into it right now. I had to end. I'll tell you where I'll call in on your show in a little few minutes.
You got 2 minutes. Tell us real quick. Slaves, go. You got two
minutes. The word slave is, when you look in a Black's Law Dictionary, they tell you right in there that they agree not to use the word slave anymore. Mm-hmm. It tells you right there in the 8th edition of Black's Law that we are just not going to use the word slave. But slavery, but it tells you that the Constitution protects slavery. Read the 13th Amendment closely. Slavery ain't went anywhere. It's a protected it is a constitutional right to put somebody in slavery. So y'all gotta read that and see what's going on.
Okay, can you call into our show? Because I got 3 hands up for you. When your show
okay,
goes I'll
call
off,
back
can you call
in? Let me end my show, and I will call back in. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So y'all, we got Yusuf Vail, Private Side Solutions. High Frequency Radio. He going to call back into WGAG Radio. And y'all just be a little bit patient with us. I got to get in some commercials, please. May I, please, if I can. And do my introduction, goddammit. Shit, you already know this is real nigga radio, man. We about to get into Nefertiti surviving the game and a few other things. And also get to the call lines when Yusuf call back in onto the show. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff. Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its third full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other...
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact statement tonight, the Talking Points memo.
Hot damn politics.
I'm back now with the Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust panel.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I put that shit on everything.
Hot Damn Politics, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m., only on WTAG Radio.
Kick back and chill with Nefertiti, the number one sports connoisseur in cyberspace, giving you the latest updates in sports, current events, and hot topics. Tune in every Friday night at 11 o'clock with Nefertiti, Surviving the Game, only on WGAG Radio.
The Don Nicolione After Party, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PowTalk.com. All you need is a microphone, a headset. You can use your Android phone or your iPhone. You can download the app stack. The internet for the Don Nicolione After Party. You mean I can get down like that? I can download the app for PowTalk? That's right. You can join us via Georgia Gossip, Facebook. It all goes down here. Controversy in the room. Oh, my God. Can we talk about a lot of shit here? Let me tell you something. Come on down to the Don Nicolione After Party and check us out where we sit here and have mad debates. It is a lot. Hottest chat room where controversy goes down. If there's a conversation, it goes down at the Don Nicolione After Party. So join us via Facebook and Georgia Gossip. Come on down and do what you do while we do what we do. Sit on our couch. Check us out at PowerTalk.com. Don Nicolione After Party. We'll be looking for you.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yokel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Don Nicolione Show, from Block Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or GeorgiaGossip.com.
WGAG Radio.
It's the God, Sakim Ra. It's the God, Sakim Ra. It's the God, Sakim Ra.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicolione, man.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for. They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicolione, man.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
It's the God, Sakim Ra.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicolione, man.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
WGAG Radio.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
WGAG Radio.
Birthday. It's your birthday.
If I die, carry me in St. Louis.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for. And how I come up with this shit up in the studio. All I want for my birthday is a
Don Nicolione, man.
All I want for my birthday is a
Don Nicolione, man.
When I die, bury me inside the country style. When I die, bury me inside the Louis style.
to
Don Nicole Young, man.
All I want for my birthday is a
Yeah, what up? It's the God, Sakim Ra. You chillin' with Don Nicoleone, man, your big booty girl. WGAG Radio, live from Brooklyn, you heard?
Got a big booty, so I call him Big Booty.
Skirt, skirt.
Wrist moving, cookie getting to it.
Cookie.
I'm in the kitchen.
I'm in the kitchen.
Jams everywhere.
Damn.
Just made a juice. I got fans everywhere.
Damn.
You the realest nigga breathing if I hold my breath.
Damn.
Referee with a whistle. Hold his tag. Extendo clip.
Extendo
roll. When your girl leave me, she need a hair salon. Have weed killers going on the chopper thumb. See, I done had more bones than Pakistan. Dope bum, dope bum, and a pill bum. See, nigga, I'm ballin', you in real car. When I die, bury me inside the jury style. When I die, bury me inside the true style. True to my religion, to everything, I'm too different. So when I die, bury me next to
Don Nicoleone, man. Don Nicoleone, man.
You're listening to Don Nicoleone Show at WGAG Radio.
Let me get a mic check up in this motherfucker. Y'all already know what time it is. Turn your motherfucking radio up. It's the one and only Don Nicoleone.
So all my bad bitches, I can see your halo. Judah. Now it's me and my time, it's just me and my prime. Everything I try to teach them, they gon' see it in time. Tell them bitches get a stick, I'm done leading the blind. So all my bad bitches, I can see a halo. See, got the eye of the tiger, the lion of Judah. Now it's me and my time, it's just me and my prime. Everything I try to teach them, they gon' see it in time. Tell them bitches get a stick, I'm done leading the blind. So all my bad bitches, I can see a halo. All the girls will come in, as long as they understand.
Yeah, I've been doing this shit since I was 18. Can't none of y'all hoes touch this shit. Y'all bitches been hollering 4 years on BTR. Check my resume, bitch. Y'all hoes elementary to this shit. Universal knowledge done mastered this motherfucker. Come up to my level.
On materialistic ass. Common desire stink. Ass. Vibrate low on a density level ass, bitch. You can't touch this shit, bitch. The best bitch doing it. That's right. The best bitch doing it is a happy you. Put your hands together for the woman of the hour, Don Nicoleone.
You got your intros, you feel me? I gotta give a special shout out to my man Yusuf L in the building, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. Y'all know we do it Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, right here on WGAG Radio, baby. Yeah, baby. You already know it. How we do it up in this thing. Let me give a special shout out to Nefertiti surviving the game, Queen Vita, everybody in the after party, Get Real, Pretty Brown Eyes, J1, Mush Mouth, Ja Elohim, Bizang. L is in the building, man. Who else in this thing? Self-Guided, G.J. Sutt, Miss Black Nas, Big Money Mike, all of them in the after party, J. Illa, Kimbo, Vivian, Hakeem Simmons, Miss Jackson, Sakim Rod, the God is in the building. Yeah, baby. Well-dressed, blase, blase, everybody, man. Focus 722, what's good with you, man? Big Six is also in the building. Everybody in the VIP chat room on BTR and on the call lines. I hope y'all had an awarding, strong beginning and not a weekend coming into the Don Nicoleone Show, man. One time for Farasha. Who else? Antichrist 666, Music Head. Yeah, Bible Truth, Benny, what's good with you? All the guests also tuning in. I Beat It, I Am, Isis 81, Lost Chains, Light Waves in the house. What's happening, baby? Madam Teacher Lady, I know I got to give all my love and my shout-outs, man. Pretty Brown Eyes, Queen Vita, Queen Mother 9, Ross Sudan is in the building. Sha Bless, what's happening? Solar Flare is Nunya, J. Illa, Star Dancer Supreme, J. Bone, Powered Up, Sweet Bone is in the building. All right, I'm going to bring in Gil Savelle into the play real quick because we got three callers also with their hands up. Give me a mic check, Yusufel. Let me make sure you in here.
Hey, what's up, Don? What's up?
Man,
what's
thank
happening?
You, man. I know you're tired of talking, but motherfucker, this is your subject, boo. Man, fuck. Y'all got to tune in to High Frequency Radio. It comes on at 11. No, is it 11 or 10? Eastern Standard Time.
Well, it's 8 o'clock Pacific to Standard Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, good. At 11 Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to also put it on my blog talk page, on the blog talk page, so y'all can actually just click on it if y'all got problems, or probably Queen Vita can drop his link in, but set the time. That's at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's,
11 a.m. That's after, no, that's in the morning.
Yeah, it's in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about moving the time around a little bit because these mornings is killing me. But, you know, it's making me get up early in the morning.
But that's
so
good, man. That means then we could just bleed right on into my show.
Right.
And keep this bitch going because this shit is very fucking important. We done talked about everything above and below the sun with the exception of this information. And this is something that, I live for, this shit right here, Yusuf.
Right. Me too.
You know what I'm saying? This
too.
Is the shit here, and I know everybody ain't going to understand this shit in one show, two show, three show, because they have to do their own due diligence in this shit. But, good God, man, I'm so glad I just got you on this side for a minute, for however long I can. Can I bring in a few callers? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
let's run
sure,
it real
sure.
quick. Babylon Dawn, give me a mic check real quick, babe.
Hey, I'm Don, what's up? How you doing?
Welcome to the show, baby. How you doing today? You got a question or a comment?
What's up, Houston?
Hey, what's happening, man? What's going on? How you feeling?
Hey, with my hands, bro. Hey, Don, I just wanted to, I was just really just chiming in because I thought it was a good show, but I did have a couple of things. I got a kind of loud background right now, but I wanted to ask Yusuf, did he know that the UCC, or the Uniform Commercial Code, the only state that don't have it is Louisiana?
Well, Louisiana was the last state to have it enacted. It is in Louisiana now. It's in Louisiana,
okay,
before the very last state to adopt, because the UCC was adopted by all 50 states, because it's really not a law per se. It's an agreement that all the states used on how they will conduct their commercial affairs. But Louisiana was the last state to adopt it. Yeah, they were.
Oh, okay.
So it is in Louisiana. It's in Louisiana. They just were the last one. You can go to their state codes and you'll see it. All you got to do is just go pull up their state codes and you'll see it's been codified in their state code.
Oh, okay. I didn't know because it was still in the law books that way.
Well, it might have been whatever. You had to look at that version of when that law book was published. Because I don't know how recent it was, but I just know that they were the very last state. Because Louisiana, their laws are based off of the French. And, they were the last ones to adopt it. That is true. But they know it is. I know for a fact that they do have it. They do have it there.
Yeah.
Incredible. So basically, the Uniform Commercial Code is a standard format for all states.
It's
like a financial commercial format.
And what
use.
You have to understand, a state is considered a country. Because
right.
if you look at, if you go and look up in a Black's Law Dictionary the definition of law between states, you'll see that it says international law. Just like how Israel is called a state. Palestine is called a state. You know, those are all states too. And we call the United States over here, and we have a federal government because we all agreed to collectively come together and have a central government called a federal government. So we can engage in international commerce. That was the whole purpose.
I call it republic.
Right. So each state is its own country. That's why they have their own constitution and their own laws.
Yep, they do. I've said that many a times. People call me crazy. Come on in, 770-885. Give me a mic check from you.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's me.
Yeah. Did you want to make a comment?
No, I didn't. I didn't even push one. I'm sorry.
All right. It's cool. 334, your mic is open. Give me a mic check. 334-538.
Oh, no.
What's up, baby? Come to the phone. Take us off speaker real quick.
I can't take you off speaker. Probably.
Oh, well, shit. Well, then.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. Hey, just move down. I'm just listening, okay?
Yeah, but we're having a hard time hearing you. Is it a, everybody in the chat room saying, pull over, pull over? We'll give you a minute, then. Can you mute your phone? Can you just mute us and I'll leave your mic open? Try to mute your line for us, your phone, and then you just come back in at any moment, okay? All right, thanks. All right, let me bring in 302-565. Your mic is open. Come on in. 302-565. Yeah,
yes.
Yes.
I took an officer's bond number. Because I'm saying, I was like in my neighborhood one day. We was walking around in my neighborhood, and they were going to be like 7 cars deep. Then I, you know, I mean, I'm like, I said, you know, I heard about the bond number. I said, yo, what is your bond number? He wouldn't even give me his bond number. He said, well, I know you know what I'm talking about. Well, what is the process of getting an officer's bond number?
Well, what you do when you engage a police officer is, first thing you do is you always ask them for their business card. Especially if they're doing something that you and your estimation is feeling is violating. Like one time I was in my, you know, I have a nice car and I was coming to from a hotel and I was parking and the police just pulled in front of me, hit me on the lights, you know, everything. And, you know, and he comes out the car and I say, hey, help you. Say, yeah, he said, we've been having a lot of drug activity in this area. And may I have your driver's license? I'm like, wait a minute, sir. You know, are you inferring that because I'm driving a Mercedes-Benz that I have to be selling drugs? I said, I'm a businessman. I said, let me get your business card and call your supervisor. I'm not giving you anything. All right? And that's how you speak to them. You let them know that you don't have to give them anything. What they're trying to do is they're trying to find a reason for something. You know, and they come in because they don't really got nothing until you give them something. Or you say something. So I have to give you anything. I have to give you my name. I don't have to give you my driver's license. I don't have to give you anything until you properly identify yourself. And just because you have on a uniform, you could be impersonating a police officer. So they are all required to have business cards. What you want to get is their name. Don't worry about getting their bond number. You can get that later. They really don't want to give you their name. And then that's when you'll see them really be uncomfortable. Sir, may I have your name, sir, your first and last name? And your badge number.
What's the purpose of getting the cop's bond number?
Well, here's the thing with a bond. Everybody in the public has sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And, of course, you got the Bill of Rights and all those that with that. Now, they are operating under a commercial venue, though. But in exercising and enforcing commercial statutes, they still are not allowed to infringe on the Constitution of the United States. So when you ask them for that information, their bond, without their bond, they cannot work. So I usually say something to the effect of, because I got surrounded by them a couple of times before, and they'll say, well, a judge can do whatever they want. I said, sir, you have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. You have a bond in place. If you violate that, if you act outside the ambit of delegated authority, then I have the ability to go and contact the risk management department of this municipality and file a claim against your bond and make you uninsurable for public service. Because to work in the public, you got to be able to be insured. That's what bonds are nothing but insurance.
When somebody is asking for the police or striving to retrieve a police bond number, that's basically an insurance number?
That's an insurance number. Do you have insurance? Because you have to have some type of insurance to demonstrate that if you injure me, I can be compensated in some kind of way.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Because you have sworn to uphold the oath. You got to keep your promise. It's just like I was saying on my show, when you come into the country and you fill out a document to come into the country with Homeland Security. And I've seen most people don't know those are bonds. You're giving your word. Your word is your bond. Your word is bond. And if you break your word, that's worth money. That's what it's called. That's why you got to stay in honor at all costs. One of the rules is being honorable. That's why you see them talk about honor so much. That's what the judges call your honor. They have to be honorable. And if they're not honorable, they're violating their oath. And if they violate their oath, that is worth money. People who break their word, that's worth money in commerce. That's why when you come into court, they want you to plead not guilty, that you're violating your oath. You swore to not question the debt. And in Article 1 court, when you plead not guilty, you're saying I'm not going to pay. And that's a dishonor.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, that's in everything, though. That's with everything in society, being honorable in all of your dealings. Because there is no money. There's
that's
no money.
That's why they say, is the person bonded and insured and not just insured?
I'm sorry now. I didn't catch that.
When they use the word bonded and insured.
Exactly.
I mean, I've never seen the word bonded and insured.
I've seen that shit 1,000 times.
Yeah, bonded,
and insured.
Bonded is insurance, because when you get your bond, a bond is an oath, okay? And when they're probably referencing that, they're probably talking about the oath of office, because your word is your bond. So when you take an oath, when you go down and get a judge's oath of office, you'll see loyalty oath and you'll see oath. They'll always give you two documents,
mm-hmm.
especially down there in Georgia. All right, one is for the straw man, which is in all caps, and one is the real living soul. So your oath is your bond because you're giving your word. Your word is bond. But the insurance part of it is what's held with the insurance agency. That's probably what they're referencing. But you're always going to go when we've gotten judges' bonds, when you ask for the bond, you go to insurance agency. That's where the bond is at. It's an insurance company that has it. So if they're bonded insurance, that's what they got to mean, you know, because when you get the bond, you got to go to an insurance company to get it. Contact risk management and ask them. Ask them, contact your risk management and say, where are y'all holding the bond? And they'll give you the name of the insurance company.
Wait. Where you contact risk management at?
It's different for each individual municipality. You can get on the website for your local county, and it should be on there somewhere. Just type in a search engine, risk management. And I would become very familiar with them as well. I mean, call over there, introduce yourself, say you want to speak to somebody in charge, and just ask them questions. Say, look, I need to file a claim against a public official. How do I do it? And they'll tell you. They'll tell you what the judge's bonds are for and all that. My employees, we would be on conference calls with them. I'd have a conference call, and we'd be all in the conference room, and I'd go through and ask, because I'd be introducing my entire staff and let them know all this stuff, and we'd sit here, and that's part of my training, to actually sit in and sit on the phone with risk management. And they'll tell you a lot of different things. Tell you who's bonded, what the bonds cover, what they don't cover, how much they for. They're not for a whole lot of money either.
Come on in, Nefertiti, Surviving the Gang. Give me a mic check.
Mic check, Don. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show. I hope that helped, 302-565. Your mic is still open, but I'm glad you muted your background. But what you got for us, Nef?
Shit, I've been hearing the word bonds all day. Peace to everybody else on the line. And I just want to know, financially, does it make any sense to buy bonds? Is that?
A bond is just a promise, and wealthy people do deal in bonds because
mm-hmm.
bonds are the underlining security behind all negotiable instruments. The Federal Reserve doesn't issue promissory notes unless there's a bond in place. They buy treasury bonds that are backed by birth certificates. That's what they're backed by, which is backed by labor.
Right.
But usually if you're going to buy some bond, what you want to do is you want to look at the security that's supporting it. So these are what prospectuses are for and so forth for investors. When you come in and you're buying a bond, you got a B-424 prospectus. You're going to look at that and see how that security is performing. And you also want to look like, okay, well, what is the collateral that is, the collateral that's supporting it? You know, and this is what people do. This is what investors look at. They make intelligent decisions based off of that. So you want to learn how to read a prospectus.
Right.
How do you check for the rate of the security?
I mean, that's what Standard & Poor's rate securities, and that's not necessary. And I know for a fact, because we've done securitization audits, that that's not always correct. They do a lot of fraud that's happening with, you know, rating of securities because, you know, that's what was happening with this mortgage debacle when, you know, these people letting all these people have houses who had bad credit ratings, but they were reporting you on Wall Street like you had a 750 or something and pooling you with other people that had 700 credit scores.
Yeah, with stated loans. You're right.
Yeah, that's what
right.
the fraud was.
Mm-hmm.
Question. I mean,
so
I
the
did,
rating
I'm,
came under question. Go ahead.
I'm from a woman in Delaware, Brother Shakri Bay. Islam, brother.
Islam, brother.
I was the one talking about the when the police officer jumped out on me. Now, the second question was, I did proceed to ask him, do you have a business card? And he said, no, I don't have no business card. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know how you go. Is there a
Well, I mean, you're dealing with, I mean, in situation, let me just say this. You know, they, you got dishonest police officers out there. You know, and, I'm, and by no means am I, you know, suggesting that you take violence or anything like that. But I do say that you do have a right to defend yourself if somebody's trying to take your life or something. I don't think you can legislate somebody trying to take your life. But most of the police officers that you encounter will attempt to demonstrate at least some type of semblance of following some type of protocol. Usually, if you tell them to call their supervisor, they have to do that. And I've never seen a situation where they didn't call the supervisor. And that's usually what the next question you want to do. Because when I asked him for his business card, he didn't give me it either, and he didn't give me his name. But he did call his supervisor.
So what happened once he called his supervisor? How was the dialogue? Were you able to hear him call his supervisor?
Well, they got to go to their car and call their supervisor. And the supervisor is going to be a little bit more, you know, he's going to be more intelligent. He's going to give you his name and all that type of stuff. You're dealing with his superior. But every time I deal with one of my underlings and I tell them something and the first thing fly out their mouth, they try to tell me, well, you ain't got no choice. You going to do what I tell you to do or something like that. The first thing out of my mouth is, can I have your business card and call your supervisor right now? I want your supervisor here on the scene.
So what happened?
And the supervisor comes, you know. And I went, well, when he comes, the supervisor comes, because you have no problem calls. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to say, okay, can you give me a reason why you are stopping me? I backed my car. Because then he said, well, I backed my car in. I pulled into the parking lot. It says 50 other cars in this parking lot with the car backed in. He didn't have nothing. He just saw a black man in a car, and he's looking for something. He think I'm a drug boy or something. So what you going to put in a police report? Is anything you say can and will be used against you. So you're not there to answer any questions. You're there to ask questions. I'm not answering until my questions are answered because I don't even tell you my name.
So once the supervisor shows up, do you ask him for the business card?
You ask him questions. I ask him for his business card and ask him for his name. Somebody got to give me a name. Somebody got or a badge number or something where you can trace back. And they don't want to give you that information. They don't want to give you that information. Matter of fact, the last time I was in a courthouse, they had like 7 police officers around me because I was in the court asking for a judge's oath of office and bond. I was down there asking for this judge's oath of office and bond. They knew who I were and knew who I was, and I needed a certified copy. And the lady wouldn't give me. She gave me a copy of it, but she wouldn't give me a certified copy. I said, well, ma'am, I said, you're supposed to give me a certified copy. She said, we don't give certified copies. I said, well, I got a certified copy here just 2 months ago. What are you talking about? So she just gave me this funny look, and I said, well, that's okay. I'll get it from the Secretary of State. When I said I'm going to get it from the Secretary of State, she pushed a button under the registry. So a sheriff rushed in. And she went over and whispered something in his ears. I'm walking out of the office, and I'm getting on the elevator. They say, you know, I got 5 sheriffs rushing me. Sir, step off the elevator. I'm saying, I can help you, gentlemen. You always act like a gentleman when you're dealing with them. Yes, sir, I can help you, gentlemen. We just got a report that you were in the clerk's office harassing the clerks. I said, well, no. I said, I was just in there getting an oath of office. Well, they told us you was in there harassing them. I said, well, no, I was talking to them the way I'm talking to you right now. They said, well, that's not what we heard. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Do they have cameras in the clerk's office? Yeah. I said, well, let's go look at the cameras and see what the cameras say. They didn't want to do that. So the next thing you know, the sergeant rolls up, and now he's want to see what the commotion is. And he's like, okay, what are you doing here? I said, I'm trying to get the judge's oath of office and bond. He said, you can get that off the internet. I said, man, you can't get a judge's oath of office off the internet. And you damn sure can't get a certified copy. He said, well, what do you need the judges for? Because they can do whatever they want to do. And I said, no, they can't do whatever they want to do. I said, that judge has an oath to uphold, and if she acts outside the ambit of delegated authority, now I can go and file a claim against her with risk management. As soon as I said that, he told all those officers to leave. He said, all y'all leave.
Because they don't need to learn this shit either, huh?
Well, no, because he's protecting them. I thought it was more so to protect them.
That's like telling the children to leave the room.
Well, he did say this. He did say that, how do you know this information? He said, a lot of people don't know that. And I said, a lot of people don't know their constitutional rights. I said, why do I have to go do this every time I come to our courthouse? I come in peace. I always come in peace. That's what amicus curiae is, a friend of the court. I know you're never there to get into any type of confrontation with these people. These are public servants. But what they do is they try to, when the police is all real gruff with you like that, what they're really doing is acting. They're trying to invoke a response out of you so they can get a reason to do something. And a lot of people fall for it. It's all acting.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you don't let them invoke that response out of you. You just act intelligently and responsibly whenever you're saying. You say, okay,
so
when you know what's the problem.
Let's go back to the oath of office. Tell us more about that. Why was it very important for you to get the oath of office?
Because that's what they – okay, first of all, the oath of office is to uphold the Constitution. I got two of them right here. I'm going to read them right now from Georgia. There's a judge in Georgia. And one of them is called the loyalty oath. And the other is called Oath of Judge of the Superior Court. Now, what they used to do is they used to have the loyalty oath would always be in all capital letters, and then everybody started busting them out on that because they would always say, well, you know, why is this in capital letters and this one is not? And you'll notice that one is for the corporation and one is for the real living soul. And what this oath is for, when you read it, it says, I, and then it has the judge's name, a citizen of, and then it'll have the county, and being an employee of the Superior Court of their county, and the recipient of public funds for services rendered as such employee, do hereby solemnly swear and affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States, Georgia. I do further swear that I will administer justice without respect. And it goes on and so swear, and it ends with so help me God. So they're making they're swearing to God to do
right.
something.
Mm. So now, what's the purpose of getting it, though?
Huh?
What's the purpose of getting it?
Well, the purpose again is to remind them of that, because when you take
okay,
it into court,
you.
When you take it into court, you got to understand when you go into a courtroom, you're in an Article I court. The Constitution do not apply in an Article I court. However, in an Article I court, it's only for corporations, and you are a real living soul, and you are a beneficiary, and they are supposed to protect you. And you have to remind them of that fact. And you go in there and you read this, man. You have an oath to uphold the Constitution and protect my God-given rights. I'm a real living soul. I'm not a corporation. And you're not hearing it to treat me as such. You have to make that judge put on that Article III hat because they were in an Article I hat. They're in there enforcing statutes, codes, and rules and regulations that are only applicable to corporations, not to you. But you have to be able to know that distinction. So you got a lot of cats coming in there and going in court talking, I'm a moor, I'm this, doing the status arguments and all this, and that's not the venue and jurisdiction for that. But you do need to be protected because you are a real person, you are a real living soul, but you got to invoke that from that judge. And you bring that oath of office into court and you read it into the record. I had a gentleman I was with, he came into court, and he had the judge's oath of office, and he held it up, and he showed it to him, and he said, I'm expecting you to protect me.
Mm. And then what?
Nothing. He went on with his case. You know what I'm saying? But you got to understand, when you're dealing with these people, they're keeping secrets, so. All right, this is not nothing. They're not about to tell you we are involved in slavery. They're not about to tell you we've hawked and sold everybody into slavery. They're not going to come out because that's private information. These are private corporations. They don't have to put their business into the public, and you have contracted with them. And if you study private law, contract law is under private law.
Mm-hmm.
They have the right to contract with you, and
mm-hmm.
you have the right not to contract with them. But when you voluntarily demonstrate through your conduct by getting a driver's license, by getting a Social Security card, by using Federal Reserve notes to discharge your debt, by getting the school matriculations numbers and putting your kids in public school, by going and getting hospital insurance, by going on and getting all these numerous things, by taking Social Security benefits, getting unemployment, getting welfare, getting disability. You are contracting with the people. And then you want to come into court and say, I'm a moor. Or I'm this, or I'm that. And they're looking at this. They got all type of, they got your whole file in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And look at that shoe, man. Man, what the hell are you talking about? You ain't acting like no sovereign, man. You acting like a ward of the state. But they take silent judicial notice of this fact, and they ain't going to tell you that. It's called silent judicial notice.
Let me bring in 215-626. Give us a mic check. 215-626.
Yeah, this is Brother James calling from Philadelphia. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Yeah. I heard a lot of cats talking this talk, man, but not like you, man. I'm trying to speak that language. My question is about the Social Security cards. Now, I heard that the red numbers on the back signify what bank you indebted to or something like that. Explain that to me.
Yeah, the numbers on the back, you'll have a letter associated with the number, and that will indicate what Federal Reserve Bank that your account is located at. Now, we've recently come up with some information that says we should just be using the number on the front of the cards, not necessarily on the back, because the front of the card is public, the back of the card is private. There's a public and private associated with everything. That's your private, they call it a private offset treasury account number. And that's where your card, and every time you get a different Social Security card, you will get a different number on the back. And you are entitled up to 10 Social Security cards in your lifetime. All right, they give you, and every time you get a new card, they give you a new number. I got a new card. My number moved from Atlanta to Chicago. And I don't know if that's because I was trying to buy things and use things. They trying to move me away from it. Because I've heard, and I haven't tried this yet, that you can walk in the Federal Reserve and do something with these accounts. You know, I've heard this. I haven't tried to do it yet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, let me just tell you, like I told on another show, a gentleman, he had been using his for about 6 months to pay bills. He had he was a Moor, and he had a guy who had showed him the trick is with the routing number. You got to find the routing number to that particular number. And also you need to file a signature card with the Federal Reserve. You got to let them know that you're going to be using. He said when they came to visit him, they told him that he needed to fill out certain paperwork to use that number. And he said it involved collapsing a trust and some others. He didn't quite understand it. But he did say that they paid him a visit after he'd been using it 6 months. And he got a visit from the Federal Reserve, not from the federal government or anything. The Federal Reserve actually, they sent two agents to come visit him and told him to stop using the number until he filled out the proper paperwork.
And where do you go fill the proper paperwork at?
I mean, this is the secret. They don't ever tell nobody. You know, you got to figure all this shit out yourself.
I know. It's a puzzle.
I think
you got to go back to the Social Security Administration where your card signature is on file. Because nobody takes their, like I said before, nobody takes their signature back to, once they sign their Social Security card, nobody takes it back to the Social Security Administration.
You know what? You know, Don, that makes a lot of sense because I always used to wonder, okay, why do y'all want me to sign it? You
exactly.
Know what I'm saying?
For what? What is it for?
Yeah. You know, what I'm signing it for. But you're absolutely correct. I mean, that makes a lot of damn sense because it's banking. Because like I tell people,
mm-hmm.
when you walk into a Social Security Administration, y'all pay attention next time. They got teller windows. Those windows is teller windows.
And that must be the same thing when they ask you to sign on the back of your bank card, too. Like
exact same thing, you know. Well, I think that's to compare signatures, you know, you come in, you know, for identification purposes, because you sign up. When you go in a bank and open up a bank account, they
you
give you a signature
already.
Card.
Yeah, you have a signature card
you
already.
You got a signature card already there. So it's banking. Let me tell you,
but
I
what is
know
it
for fact
like
it's banking.
Your bank card. I see many people sign that on the back of their bank card, but you constantly swiping at a damn credit card machine. It ain't like the credit card machine.
Well, no,
it's
because they got
to see the
well,
back of your signature, your card.
No, they got what's called the Uniform Electronic Signature Act. Right now, your PIN number is considered to be a signature. Signature, because we live in the age of electronics and stuff, you got to understand with the Uniform Electronic. Let me pull it up for you. It's called the Uniform.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Electronic. And it's a whole act. You should read it. You know, and the reason I know about it is because, like, a lot of people, yeah, the Uniform Electronic Transactions Act. Yeah, it's called the UETA, Uniform Electronic Transactions Act. You should read that, and it tells you in there also how they don't have to have the original instruments anymore, how they're digitizing everything, because we live in a modern world, and things are changing now. And that's why they're not presenting these promissory notes and foreclosures and a lot of things like that anymore. So y'all should be very familiar with the Uniform Electronic Transactions Act. It will tell you in there that your signature, all the things that constitute a signature, and your PIN number is a signature.
Mm-hmm.
You sign in something when you punch in your PIN number.
Right, we got the link in the chat room. 215, I had to mute your background because your background was.
I was about to tell you to do that. Yeah, I'm outside.
Yeah, did you want to say anything else? Did you have another question?
No, that's it. That's it.
Could you mute your? Because you just mute us, and that way you can jump in at any time if you have another question.
All right, hold on. All right.
Yeah, if you could put us on mute, that'd be better. Okay. Neff, did you have a comment? We got another question for you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
How can you find the Reserve Bank, your Social Security card?
Just the letter. When you they have it on the Internet, that's very, very information to get a hold of. Let me put it up for you. Each of the letters, Federal Reserve District Letters Back. Of SSN card. Let me see if I can find it real quick, and I'll put it in the chat room.
Okay, we got somebody that can grab all that for us. Just keep it going.
There's a lot of stuff on the Internet that will line up and tell you. It's even on your money. I tell you the easiest way to do it is look on your money, and you'll see the letter that's on individual cash, and that letter will tell you what Federal Reserve that cash was printed at. And it was printed there because that's where your account is at. So if you look on cash, you'll see, like, I'm looking at a dollar bill now. It says K, and K is Dallas. And you say G is Chicago. And that's where mine starts with now. E is Virginia. L is California.
What about F, Atlanta, Georgia?
F is Atlanta. So, you know.
Oh, it tell you what it is. You know me, man.
Yeah,
I got
right
about $1,100 bills. I got E.
Yeah, it'll tell you on your money where it's at. So you can look on your money and find out where it's at. And then that number on the back of your card lines up to what's on the money.
It's Richmond. This shit hot.
Would you say F? I'm looking at my shit right now.
I got F. F is Atlanta, Georgia.
I got F.
F is Atlanta.
Shit here. So I got plenty of ones. I just got back from the strip club. L is California. Okay, so the number on the back, the letter on the back of the Social Security card will show.
Exactly.
So if you broke motherfuckers ain't got a dollar bill, y'all are fucked. Y'all got to go on the Internet and find that out. Y'all ain't got no debt note in y'all pocket. Okay, but what's the point, though? Yusuf, as far as what Farasha asked about the Social Security link to the Federal Reserve.
Well, that's
Reserve.
For your account
point?
Number.
You
okay,
can't
we got to.
You can't even get in that motherfucker.
Well, I mean, you got to demonstrate that you're competent. It's just like a gentleman told me one time. I asked him a question. I said, "What is the difference between wealthy people and poor people?" And he told me, "Wealthy people know how to fill out paperwork." And it's just like when you went to the CUSIP website or the Depository Trust Clearing Corporation, they have forms they want you to fill out. And you need to know how to fill them out. And you either fill them out properly or you fill them out improperly. And if you fill them out properly, we'll let your ass in. If you don't fill them out correctly, you won't get in. It comes down to that.
Okay.
So one, you know, two, and it's like I said, it's a competency thing because you got to understand, this is not something where people are just going to be arbitrarily given access to something so they can run by Benzes and rims and houses and clothes and you know and just live their life how they want to live. Like, look what I got, look what you don't got, and you know not that type of lifestyle. That's not what that is for. That is for keeping commerce. Keeping commerce, you know, it's for commercial activities. It's for business purposes.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what, you know, and that's what it, you know, that's what, when you're going into the DTC, you're going in there to conduct business.
That's right.
You know, so that's what it's for, you know. The money that's being printed is being guaranteed by labor of the citizens because the federal government borrowed money and used us to support it, and those are those serial numbers that are you seeing on the money. They printing up cash. It's like the game of Monopoly. You're allowed to come onto the Monopoly board. Everybody's printed a certain amount of money to come into the game.
I noticed on your show some of the images on your screen, your radio screen,
uh-huh.
It showed the dollar bills from the denomination of one
to
100, and it showed the exact colors on the Monopoly money. Why does it have the exact colors on the Monopoly money?
So good.
Why is it? Look at your Monopoly money and look at your dollar bills. They the same exact color. Why, Yusuf?
Because the game Monopoly came out around, well, it came out in the early 1900s, but I believe Parker Brothers got a hold of it in 1936. And it's based off of what's called Tontine. And these guys, Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, and all these people who are doing all these things, these are masons and people like that. And they're telling people things. The game Monopoly was basically designed off what was actually being put in place. You're dealing with deeds. Everything is dealing, and deeds cover so much you wouldn't believe, even in criminal cases, because everybody didn't know. You could be looking at a deed and not know it's a deed. Tokens, which is like your straw man, the public and the private, which is the public is community chess, private is chance. The jail, you go to jail, you have to pay to either get out of jail or you have to roll three times. You know, all the different properties and the colors that are associated with the different properties, taxes, the utility companies, transportation, everything is being monopolized. So, you know, and then you got a token, which is your straw man, you know, all these same different things, you know, and you and once you start to understand it and you when you get on the board, everybody has the same starts out with the same amount of money. But I can end up with all your money depending on how I arrange my commercial affairs on that Monopoly board. Now, if I'm buying hotels, if I'm getting all three colors and putting hotels on my property, every time you land on my property, I'm getting paid. I'm creating a revenue stream that's coming to me. But if you're just going around the board, ain't buying nothing, you're going up broke. And that's why you see wealthy people, 80% of their portfolio is in commercial properties, 80%. And the rest is in stocks, bonds, commodities, and things like that.
Okay, tell us about that Frank cat who wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Frank L. Baum wrote The Wizard of Oz. If you look at the original Wizard of Oz, the original, not these updated copies. Let me see if I can pull it up. What you'll notice on the cover is that all the characters got bow ties on, which anybody been in our organizations, you know what a bow tie stands for,
right.
Boaz, or that's a Masonic symbol. And when you read the original, it is nothing like the updated version with Judy Garland and all that. It's nothing like that. I mean, they got all the symbology. That thing is full of symbols. You got to read it.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty find us the goddamn original copy, boo.
The original, written like the late 1900s, early 1800s.
The Wiz was written in the early...
Oh, not the Wiz.
Oh, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about the original...
Monopoly.
Yeah, I'm talking about the original book, The Wizard of Oz, the original. The original book that was published. I'm trying to look it up right now. You got to look at the pictures on the original cover. I'm pulling it up right now. See if I can pull it up. Yeah, there it is right there.
Give it to us. Can you drop it in our chat room?
Yeah, I'm going to drop it in the chat room since that comes on my screen.
I fucking love you, Yusuf. You know that, right?
I've just been doing this research.
Lord Jesus,
man.
You're like Solomon, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord Jesus.
Hey, I had to pay a lot of, I had to pay a heavy price for,
I know.
Trust me, for this information. It was.
I know Jesus.
It was like, sometimes I was wondering, man, is this going to ever end?
We want the front page of the book.
Yeah, if you go to Let's see. Wow, they got all. I know they have all these damn. Man, they got so many versions. Where is that thing? Hold on, just give me a second. They got a lot of damn versions of the Wizard of Oz. God, dog. Line. I think this is it right here. Let me see if this is it. I think this is it.
Okay, that's the film. Is that the film, Pretty?
Yeah, it's and let me tell you something else. If you
book.
Pay attention to the characters, you'll see you have a cowardly lying, a tin man, tin tax identification number, and a scarecrow, which is your straw man. And you're following the yellow brick road to go see the wizard. The yellow brick road leads to the wizard. And Oz is like OZ for ounce in gold.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're born, they measure you in OZs.
That's right.
Measure you in gold.
Stop.
That's right.
Lord Jesus.
If you read the original Wizard of Oz, if you are conscious or even a slightly conscious, you'll see all the symbology in it. The original one that Frank L. Baum wrote. I'm seeing too many of them on there. I'm like, man, I didn't know they had all these Wizard of Oz books out here. But the original one that was written definitely has a ton of symbolism in it, a ton of symbolism.
Right, if I may. It says The Wizard of Oz is written by Frank Bond, of course. What is Oz? A symbol for ounces. What is measured in ounces? Gold. What is the yellow brick road? Bricks or ignite of bars of gold. The character known as the straw man represents the fictitious, all caps, legal fictitious, a person the federal U.S. government created with the same spelling as your birth name. Remember what the straw man wanted from the Wiz of Oz, a brain.
You can't think. Yeah.
Yep, a brain, no jurist person, legal, fictitious. Fictitious, paper corporation has a brain because he or she has no breath of life. What did he get in place of a brain? A certificate, a birth certificate for
sure
his new legal creation. He was proud of his new legal status, plus all the other legalisms he was granted. Now he becomes the epitome of the brainless sack of straw who has given a certificate in place of a grain of common sense. Now, what about the Tin Man? Does taxpayer identification number recall anything to mind? The poor tin man just stood there mindlessly doing his work until his body literally froze up and stopped functioning. He worked himself to death because he had neither heart nor soul. He's the heartless and emotionless creature robotically carrying out his daily tasks as though he were already dead. He's the ox pulling the plow and the mule toiling under the yoke. These days, his taskmasters just oil him nightly with beer and place him in front of a hypnotic television until his very existence no longer has any meaning or value. His masters keep him cold on the outside and heartless in the inside in order to control any emotion or feeling that might arise. The cowardly lion was always too frightened to stand up for himself. Of course, he was a bully and a big mouth when it came to picking on those smaller than him. Have you ever noticed how bullies are really the biggest cowards? They act as though they have great courage, but in reality have none at all. They roar, but with no teeth of authority to back them up. When push came to shove, the cowardly lion always buckled under and whimpered when anyone of any size or stature challenged him. He wanted courage from the Grand Wizard, so he was awarded a Medal of Official Recognition. Now, although remaining a coward, his official status allowed him to be a bully, but with officially recognized authority, he's not unlike the attorneys who hide behind the middle courts of the temple bar. Et al ad infinitum.
And also, I mean, well, you know, like these forms in the DTC called the wizard form. You know, you're just gonna start to see, and I've met undercovers and everything, talking about, yeah, you're going to see the wizard. Or it's all just a light show, you know, when you go in there and everything. It's all smoke and mirrors. You know, you'll hear all of this stuff. And you'll see that they know it all. You know, you'll be there. When attorneys see that you really, really know this stuff, they'll open up to you a little bit and tell you some things. And that's when you're going to have to start asking your question, how much is it that I don't know? That's what happened to me. I got to a point like, damn, man, I mean, how much do these people know and how much do I don't know? And what's the gap? What's the gap? You know, are they so far ahead of me that I don't even have an idea of how far behind I am? You know, they got us thinking that $1 million is a lot of money when in reality $1 million is peanuts. You see what I'm saying? What is our paradigm and everything? Is my paradigm, their paradigm, and my paradigm are two different separate things? So the first step, you got to wake up. And I started realizing that, God damn, I'm asleep.
Ain't that the truth?
But I'm thinking I'm awake. And if you're asleep, you dead. You dead because sleep is cousin to death.
Hey, let me make an announcement. We got 2 minutes before the mothership takes off. Call in, Skype in, hurry up, or go to the after party here the next hour of the show, 347-884-9239 is your boarding pass. Some more, you know, I'm in love with the Wiz and how they explain this whole shit, Yusuf.
It is very, very interesting when you study, because see, what was happening around the time that all this, you got to go back also and look at what was happening around that time.
Right. It was the turn of the century. When
it was the turn of the century. The Federal Reserve Act happened in 1913. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of this stuff was taking place during then, and you had a lot of people behind the scenes, these brotherhoods and everything knew what was going on, and they put out these books, because that's how you talk to the public. You got to talk to the public in parables, just like the Messiah did.
Mm-hmm.
When he spoke to the public, he spoke in parables. When
damn
he talked
true
to his disciples, he spoke, and privately he told them what was really up.
Mm.
It's the same thing. They do it through movies now. They give you a parable and tell you the truth. He would eye see it and with an ear hear. A lot of y'all go in there looking at this for entertainment value. I don't go to no movie looking. Any day I watch, I'm looking to see what I can get out of it. Anyway, let's take a break. I know you got to take a break. Don't take
let
on
me
off.
Bring in 252 before we take off. 252-916, come on in.
Hey, how you doing? This is Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good morning.
Okay, let me bring in one more caller real quick. Babylon, give me a mic check. I just want to let you know your mic is open. If you fall off, I'll come grab you.
Thank you, Dan. I'm here.
Okay, Tiffany, come on before we take off. We're about to go into the mothership. So what you got for us?
I want to go back to this oath of office that Yusuf was talking about because I just got a letter back from the Secretary of State of North Carolina saying that they don't have her oath of office on file there. And they don't carry federal judges' oaths of office, which I know that shouldn't be, that's not the truth, actually, but because it says that all judges have to have an oath on file there.
Okay, let me correct you on that real quick. State judges are held at the Secretary of State. Federal judges are not held at the Secretary of State. However, I have recently found out where the oath of offices are held for federal judges. That was some very, very difficult information to come across to find a judge's federal oath. They do have them, though. There was an individual, his name is Paul Andrew Mitchell, and believe it or not, how I found out this information was given to me by someone at the Supreme Court of California.
Okay.
His name is Paul Andrew Mitchell. Y'all should look this individual up. This dude right here is a beast. His name is Paul Andrew Mitchell.
Okay.
And we haven't been able to contact him yet, but we're trying to. I haven't even heard of this man. But he didn't went all the way to the Supreme Court with some stuff. And he's a beast with it. And I'm still looking and reading this stuff. I haven't had a chance. And I got to look it up. I don't have it in front of me right quick, but he actually gives you the information of where to locate the federal judge's oath of office. But they don't have it at the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State only has state judges. They don't have federal judges.
Okay.
You got to understand, the United States government is foreign to each of the states. Each of these states are their own countries.
So where would you think it'd be at then, the federal judges?
I forgot. I gotta look.
Would it be in the Department of Justice?
Yeah, I think it's like the Secretary of State may have it, or I think it's with the Secretary of State or something like that. But you got to go to their federal agency that has it. You got to look at the United States as a separate country. That's why they have their territories: Puerto Rico, American Samoa, Guam, and then all of the federal districts. That's they stuff, and then 10 Mile Square in Washington D.C.
Okay.
They separate from us.
Let me bring in 502 real quick. Give us a mic check, and then we got 90. We got 60 seconds, and we're about to take off. 502, give me a mic check.
Mic check.
All right, let's take off real quick. Go to the after party or Georgia Gossip, or hurry up and Skype in to hear the next hour of the show, or you can catch it on the archives. I got Yusuf L, baby. High Frequency Radio in the building. Let's take off. We'll be right back. 20 seconds. Let's go.
Well, all right. Starchild, citizens of the universe, recording angels, we have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mothership, I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D, light year groove. Well, all right, you hear the noise, ain't nobody but me and the boy. Get down. Hit it, fellas.
Did you want to say something else?
No, I'm good.
502, come on, Jack eBay. What you got for us?
Oh, I'm just listening right now.
Oh, you just listening?
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to say.
Good,
right
you
now.
Better be. Babylon, I saw your hand up as well. Did you want to make a comment?
Just listening in, Dad.
Oh, it's amazing how motherfuckers just are lost for words today.
Well, I know I definitely have a question for yourself and Yusuf, if you don't mind.
I know you ain't got no question for me, boo.
Well, okay. All right, I've been, like, heavily looking into hedge funds probably, like, over the last year and a half, and I know, like, it used to be deregulated, like, was real wide open. So now they've actually reined it in a little bit. What you think about the hedge fund game, Yusuf? Is he still there? If he's still there. He gone?
Hell no, he's still here. He better be. I know this motherfucker ain't just leave us. Nah, he's still here. He probably went to answer a call or go take a piss break.
Okay.
You know how it is for old men. They got to pee like every 30 minutes.
Yeah, they got,
shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's glad of control, you know.
I'm glad I didn't ask no fucking question.
Oh, you glad you didn't? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anybody got an answer for them hedge funds? You know, never. I don't know shit about them hedge funds, shouted.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that is a parable because God put a hedge over Job. Oh,
okay,
right.
I'm here. Hey, I'm here. I have
you
mute on.
Question,
I'm trying to
Yusuf?
Talk. I'm trying to talk. I heard a question. The thing about funds, you're talking about a fund.
Hedge
and anytime
funds.
You're talking
so
about a fund.
Hey, I'm talking about hedge funds. Like
I understand, but it's still a fund. A hedge
right.
fund is like they're hedging their bets.
Right.
All right. So when you're talking about
damn,
any
he
fund.
Damn, he did hedge their bet, though. God did.
That's
with the
right.
devil. Damn,
right.
Yusuf, you got me.
Staying on both sides. You're never,
they're playing on both
about
sides.
Never losing. Coming out
so,
on both sides, winner.
If you looking at the fund, the whole thing I'm going to look at, I'm always look at the prospectus. I don't care what they call it.
Right.
I'm going to look at what is the investment security that's supporting it.
Yes.
You know, if it's junk bonds or something like that or some type of, you know, or unsecuritized debt, you know, like credit cards
yeah.
or something, some derivatives or things like that. I mean, you know, the higher the risk, the more the return.
Yes.
All right, that's just it is. The lower the risk, the lower the return. When you're dealing with the stock market, you are gambling.
Yes. I understand that.
That's what it's called waging. That's what wage is, to wage a bet. So they tax you on your wages. That's a taxable activity. So,
right.
It just depends on you got a million different funds out there. So just say hedge fund really don't mean you got different types of hedge funds, different type of hedge fund managers.
I'm talking about reference to creating your own hedge fund.
Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely want to do that if you got the – it depends on what type of collateral. Like I said, you're going to do, put together is like some real estate holdings or, you know, I would probably do something more of like a real estate investment trust or something like that. That's
mm-hmm.
what I was thinking of.
Right.
But, you know, if you put together maybe some type of investment pool and, you know, and then you got to – you know, it just depends on what it is that you're putting into it. That's what I would say. But I'm not an expert on hedge funds, I'm not really qualified really to say to give my opinion on that. I'd get with a hedge fund manager or something like that.
Right,
but I can just tell you the nature of the activity.
What I've seen. Looks like
the nature of the activity that you are involved in, I know all about that.
Right.
So.
Okay, that's what's up.
So how do you start a hedge fund then, Neff?
I'm doing right now, this is what I've come up with my hedge fund. It's just like, you just have to, like he said, you have to do the research, the perspectives. It's like you have to form a team. It's like.
Yeah, that's why I understood when he was saying a REIT, a real estate investment trust.
Right. You have to. That's what I'm really upset that you have to really find
a team.
Do you
know the nature of actually being able to qualify for a hedge fund to have something like that? Like.
Well, like the collateral?
No, not just the collateral. Like when you're talking, like when he mentioned real estate investment trust, a REIT, that's
mm-hmm.
the first thing I thought of because I know in the state of Georgia it requires at least 100 people. So that's what I'm asking, like now I know. I didn't know that there was many types of different hedge funds. So
right.
Now I'm asking, like, what type will you be starting?
I wanted to go into wealth management, like we're literally – playing the stock market, like on like you said, junk bonds and things of that nature, because I've been heavily like researching or investigating these bonds and what a bond really is and what it means. Because I mean, I know some people who are already starting up a hedge fund, and you know, so I'm just like in an investigative mode, just making sure I get all of understand all the pieces that's involved. So when I say that I want to get involved, it's definitely on the bond side and derivative side.
And we definitely want to get – derivatives are dangerous, though, but we definitely want to get into this type of information because this is where it's at. This is where the game
right.
is played. This
yeah.
is where the game is played.
Yeah.
This is the big stage, you know what I'm saying?
That.
This is what gets you out of, hood rich, you know what I'm saying, into real wealth and, you know, and get into some real activities in the world. Instead of just being restrained to whatever your neighborhood is or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever daily mundane activities that we all have been relegated to due to our particular status, you know what I'm saying? We got to understand these things. And I know in our organizations we're smart enough to do this because I see all these brothers coming on calls. They can spit history and metaphysical science, and they didn't read this and read this. You take that same energy and put it into this so we can raise our economic level up. You know, they want to put all the energy into everything except in raising ourselves economically. Like we're going to think our way, like it's just some magic going to appear or something.
Right.
And that's not what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I've been listening to 25 years. Let's do something tangible and something real. We can get into this and do this.
Why not? That's what I always say. Well, you know, I've always said, Don said, don't be afraid to cross that street. You know?
Hold on. That might have been Tiffany.
Okay.
I hope she's crossing the street. Let me bring in 678 real quick. 678, come on in. Give me a mic check. Neff, what? 678-768, your mic is over. Neff, what the hell is wealth management, boo?
I mean,
how can you start that? I mean, how can it be lucrative? I mean, how you do it, boo? Because I know about the rich. But I've never heard it in the form of a wealth management type hedge fund.
I got to take a get to her real quick. I'm going to tell you, Don. I'll get it for you real quick, the information that I've got.
Oh, but you can't tell it to me right off the top.
No, we're actually coherent like it needs to be.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. 678, give me a mic check. 768. Unmute your mic if you can. All right. I don't think they want in on this. Might be a little too much. Okay, I'm on the site. It says, what is a hedge fund? But see, I have to think like your boy, like Yusuf, when he says look up fund and all that other type of shit, and a hedge is a bet. So this makes sense. A hedge fund is a fund that can take both long and short positions.
Oh, it's both long and short positions. That makes sense.
Here.
You win either if it goes up or goes down. Hello?
Yeah, but I don't know, Neff. We'll figure this one out in the after party after the show.
Okay.
And I'm nosy. I want to hear whoever hollering in the back. You know, I like shit like that. And it's hard to find which number it is for me to mute it. You feel me? So, but now, if you got any more questions or anything else you want to add to the hedge fund or Yusuf?
Oh,
no.
Oh, no, I don't got anything to add to that. That's not,
okay,
no, that's
so
not my
good.
Area
I'm back
expertise.
On the bonds, though, Yusuf. My question, I always get stuck when people mention bonds. And I noticed you said it's a promise to pay something. So basically, if I wanted, I could draw up my own bond.
Yes, you can draw up your own bond. And what needs to be supporting your bond?
Okay.
What collateral do you have supporting your bond? Is the securitization for that particular bond is your exemption or your Social Security account, trust account, which is the most powerful thing in the country because there is no money. You got to think about this. What is pushing Wall Street? What's pushing all these? What's behind all these bonds if there's no money?
Insurance.
Okay, it's insurance. So what? There still ain't no money. What are they going to pay with?
So
exactly. We understand that, but you asked what was backing it.
Yeah, but I mean, they put a bond like, for instance, GSA put out a bid bond, payment bond, and performance bond. A bid bond is a bond, of course. Then you got a payment bond, a performance bond comes in, and then they got a payment bond that's just you buy a bank package together, make up a security out of it, and sell it. But still, with all that activity, there still has to be a pass-through, meaning there has to be some money that's going to come through to the certificate holders of whoever is going to purchase that particular investment. Where is that money coming from?
Is it coming from the Federal Reserve?
No, it's coming from us.
Well, yeah, we know it's coming from us, but if it's coming from, we're not literally giving it to them. They have to be able, they got to get
payment,
it from somewhere.
Money just represents energy, and that is us going out, working jobs, making house notes, car notes, credit card payments, all these different things. Because when you go look in these funds, that's what these funds are composed of. Credit cards.
Right.
Car loans.
We just jumped from bonds. We just jumped from funds, bonds to funds. I just would like to see that, you know, it be understood that a bond is a contract between a surety. Earlier I mentioned bonded and insured. Bond is not insurance. A person that's insured has the right to write a bond, which is to contract with the government. A bond is a contract between a person with insurance called a surety and the government, which states the surety will be able to use this money that they pay into this court as a bail. If they do anything in this country, even for a diplomat, that's why anybody can get a bond with the government. That's what Baby got, basically. When he said he got diplomatic status, he got a bond with the government where he done paid money.
Wait a minute. I saw that baby's paperwork. Baby don't even have the word spelled right on the paperwork.
Now, you've been talking a lot, Yusuf, so just let me finish. So anyway, when you take money and you put it forth as an insurance policy, which is different than you having insurance done. Now you insuring what you do, your actions, any type of tort that you may cause somebody or injury or damages that you may cause somebody in the act of what you're doing. A bounty hunter can get a bond. A bail's bondsman has a bond. Even though he's bonding people out, he is a bonded agent.
That's,
but that's
not true what you're saying, because, wait a minute, hold on, because you're, what you're saying is not right. Wait, whoa. What you're saying is not right, because when you're dealing with bail bonds, when you're dealing with any type of bonding, it don't have to have insurance. It has to have something that secures the bond. All right, that's not right, because you're coming off the General Service Administration. You're looking at GSA bonds, where you got a bid bond, a performance bond,
no,
a payment
bond. No, I ain't looking
bond.
At nothing but the word bond, Yusuf.
And
we can look it up in a law book.
A bond just means a promise.
We can look the word bond up in a law book, Yusuf.
A bond just means a promise. That's all bond means, a promise. Look it up.
A bond
look
in
up
a
the
law
word.
Book.
Look up the word.
I'm looking at it.
Promise.
I'm
going
to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you.
Read it to me.
It reads a bond, a contract between a surety and the government, which states surety will have defended appear in court at a specified time or forfeit bond money.
That is not
bond.
The definition of bond.
Wait,
that
let
is
me
the,
finish, man.
That's not what that's
damn.
Talking about. That's
a
not binding, what that's talking
a,
about.
A, let me finish, man.
Go
anyway,
ahead, go ahead.
A binding
go ahead.
Agreement, a binding agreement backed by securities to do or not to do something. A performance bond guards against loss due to failure on a construction project. A deed which obligates a person or his heirs to pay a sum of money by a specified date. So again, I state that a bond is basically to protect
man,
you.
Man, let me tell you something. Stop
loss.
Fooling these people. First
a
of all, wait a minute, let me talk.
You
first of all, you're giving the second loss. Sense of the word. I'm reading it right here. Okay, the first sense of the word is obligation, promise. All right, when you're looking in a Black's Law Dictionary and you're looking at definitions of words, each of the senses of the words apply to different jurisdictions.
See,
now
that's
where
the problem comes in. When you got the right to redefine the fucking definition and the Black Law Dictionary, and we got to go with those definitions up and shit, fuck some bullshit. How you going to redefine the definition in the book and you telling me to look it the fuck up?
I'm looking at it right now.
You saying, look it up, Babylon.
I'm looking
at
it right now.
Then when I read you the fucking definition, you say I'm reading out a Black Law book.
When you said I'm saying the difference,
listen,
what I'm telling you.
Listen
to what I'm telling you.
When you're talking to people with equal knowledge, then
you
can't
be equal
the
knowledge because you don't know what you're talking about. You don't
say.
Know what you're talking about. I'm telling you,
no.
You don't.
Then I refuse to say on the show earlier that you don't know
you
what the fuck you're
talking
about.
You don't.
But
I mean,
budget and
when
insurance,
you look at what you
look
just
it up.
Read
you,
to them.
Wait, you look up budget and insurance because you admit it. You
listen,
never seen it
listen,
before.
I didn't say budget.
So you look it up.
Listen,
so you look
listen.
It up.
Okay, I'm going to let you get
you
through.
You look up
you
budget and insurance
because you
said earlier
through.
You can never ever see those words before. But now you are expert on bonds. You said earlier you never seen the word budget and insurance. So like hedge funds, you can't explain, admit you can't explain a bond and
okay,
insurance.
Yeah, I'm
and
what
a surety
is, a
which
bond,
is the first thing
a bond,
in fucking UCC.
I'm trying to tell you, a bond is just a promise. That's what a bond is, a promise.
No,
now,
a
wait,
bond is not a
can
promise.
I, you just
a
talk,
promissory
can I talk?
Is
you
a
just
note.
Talk.
A promise is a note.
Can you
it's
talk?
A promissory
can
note.
Well,
and the note is different than a bond.
That's the right
note
I'm talking about.
Hey,
go ahead and finish, man. Finish your talking.
Shut the fuck up. God damn.
He ain't letting nobody talk. When you look up words in a Black's Law Dictionary, they have what's called different senses of the word. Okay? Depending on the jurisdiction, like the word presentment. Okay? When you look up one definition of the word presentment, like it gives you in
the
word
bond, man.
Man, I'm finished. Can I talk, man? This
is
what I'm talking about,
man.
I'm in this every day. I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to help you. Because I'm seeing right now that you is confused. You're confused.
Oh,
I'm telling you straight up you're confused. Because you don't understand how to
okay,
apply the different definitions of the word depend on what jurisdiction you're operating under. That's why they have different senses of the word in the book. You read the second sense of the word.
And then you try to put it off like this is what the word means. Now, you can fool them people out there listening, but you're not going to fool me. Because the definition of bond means promise. Now, when you get into bonded or something like that, that's something totally different. A bond has to have something supporting it. Now, if you want to do insurance, that's one type of thing.
Let me explain something to you, though, Yusuf.
I'm talking about ignorant, bro. I've been doing shit for five years. You don't come on and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You want to meet me on the battleground? We can go at this shit. Because it sounds like you got some jealousy in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, when you're talking on the phone to me, I've been through this shit. If you come on this goddamn phone, you respect me. You're talking about the bitch on the other end of his phone.
That nigga bad.
Yeah, you shut up. Ain't no ignorant motherfuckers over here.
I don't need to tell my
you. That nigga, he went straight from Auburn to Harlem.
This is
you telling these people, you read this shit out of Blackfall Dictionary from the second sense. The first definition, you get a Blackfall definition, it says obligation and promise.
Okay, I got that. All right, now, can you
Okay, we get the first definition, but he's trying to apply it to government bonds. We get the first definition that it's a promise. Your word is your bond.
No, but the first definition is what the word is. Everything else after that is a derivative of what the first definition is.
Right.
That's
but
why when you look at it, you'll
listen,
see it. You
but
got
here's
this.
My question.
When you look under the word bond, you got all types of bonds.
Can we finish?
Calm down, brother.
God
calm
damn,
down.
Man. But go ahead.
Motherfucker.
Hey man, but son, listen now. This nigga claim to be so fucking smart and professional, but this nigga can't even.
Well, let me tell you something. All this shit
about.
Right there.
And then when
you
talk about
I can be either one. I can be straight
with a motherfucker.
I can be in the trap. I can be in the bar.
Man, you're a lame man.
You
know
that about me. I'm not gonna put up this little nigga radio. I'm not gonna put up any pretensions or anything like that.
Man, this bitch shit. I can't even. Ain't even gonna say shit.
Here's my question. Okay, here's my question. Here's what I want to know. See, I understand that there's different types of bonds. The same bonds that
Bush.
I think it's just me and Nefertiti that's interested in is
yes.
the show us the money bond,
yes.
the bond that is backed by some type of security. Because I remember you
yes.
mentioned earlier that the bond has to be backed by some type of asset or some security. That's the bond we want to talk about.
Yes.
They want it to be some type of what's called, it's going to have to
can
be.
Can I have a shot at that too, Don?
Go ahead. Go
yes,
ahead.
You can, Babylon.
Go ahead. I'm going to let him tell you.
No, you go first.
No,
you
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lord.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
You the expert on bonds. Go ahead.
You go the fuck ahead.
You go
ahead.
You go ahead.
You
go ahead.
You
go ahead. You go ahead.
You
go ahead. You go ahead and do it.
These ones.
Some niggas don't need a Black Law Dictionary. God
damn. Some niggas be bullshit. Some niggas,
Jack,
I say, can I get a shot? I say, can I get a shot at it, too? And this nigga don't go ahead. Nigga, you go ahead. I said, too. That means also. So you go, then I fucking go.
When you're talking about a bond, whatever is supporting it has to be something that has some type of energy behind it. This is why they will not take a lot of guys who going out there and they doing these writing these bonds and everything and they trying to monetize them.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of guys out here, they trying to monetize bonds. They write, you got dudes doing UCC, they writing up their own bond, and they going out here trying to sell it and trying to monetize it. And the first thing the agent wants to know is, okay, well, what is supporting this bond? What you got supporting it?
Right.
Is it gold? Is it silver? Is it, you know, is it under real estate investment trust? You know,
okay.
What's going to be the pass-through on it?
Okay.
You know
so
what I'm saying? What type of energy
normally,
is coming through
on this particular
bond? What is the
legitimate way to monetize a bond?
Right.
And that's, wait a minute, let me finish. This is why I'm talking about when you're getting to become a participant in the Depository Trust Clearing Corporation and all these places, there ain't no money. The only thing that really has value is your ideas and your
okay,
character.
So let me
those
ask
are the
a
things
question
that support
there, right
everything.
There. Not right there, Yusuf. So listen, is it possible for you to monetize your bond or to back it by the security known as your birth certificate?
Yes, it is.
because the birth certificate, that's what they're doing to you when you get a passport. When you get a passport, they are creating a bond off of you so you can travel, because all over the world the UCC is used and you have to be bonded against a public charge. And when people do these UCC security agreements, if they'll ever read them, it will tell you right in there that you agree, because you're making a contract with your straw man or your franchise, that any public charges that it will incur, you agree to discharge those charges. That's why you don't argue. That's why you look like a damn fool. You go in there and challenge jurisdiction and all these different things that you're doing, because you've already got a contract where you agree not to do those things. And notwithstanding the fact that the Constitution also says do not question the public debt. The public debt shall not be questioned. All the commercial energy is coming from the citizens. They don't, I don't care. You're talking about insurance, all this stuff. That's why you have the commercial energy to fill out a bid bond, payment bond, and performance bond. You can do all three as well as a 28, because all of it is coming from you. Everything is being supported by the private. There is no money on the public side. It never has been.
Right. Okay. I got another question based off of what you said. I'm not going to forget it, but come on in, Babylon.
Hey, Don. Sorry about
okay.
that. Sorry about that, Don.
It's good.
Sorry about that. That's my mute. But, Don, I just want to say that, first of all, a bond is an instrument of indebtedness issued by companies and government bodies. So the first thing you have to do to be able to write bonds is become a government entity or a company. So you already know how to become a company. So let's move on. Now, the company pays the holder an interest for a specified amount of time.
Now, stop right
that
there. What do they mean pays the holder? Who's the
that's
holder?
That's right. The holder is the holder of the bond. Meaning, when you form the company, right? When
it
you form
to be a company,
the company,
be a trust.
When you form the company based on the instrument of indebtedness, because the key word there is indebtedness, you're gonna issue these bonds to people saying that you hope in your company to make this much money, basically, Don. That it's just like hedging your bet. All these things mean the same thing. It's waging. It's saying that, hey, if I open this company at $1 per share, I'm guaranteed to be at $4 per share so I can hedge my bets and go ahead and collect physical money based on these bonds that I write, and I'll repay people in interest when
okay,
they incur. That's right. When they come to fruition, Don. So it's just like Neff mentioned a couple of words. She said hedging, she said derivatives, and she mentioned another word. And those are the different forms of ways in order to transact bonds. But I simply say, Don, you first need to form a company. Then that company, just like you get an agent and give an agent at the Secretary of State your phone number, your address, and he received mail, any kind
right.
of warrant or shit that he received, then that's all the holder is the acting agent for your company. And you pay him an interest, called a royalty, in order to hold that bond. And he is a guaranteed person, meaning this person is also bonded and insured and can back up your bet.
Right, because we found out that even the agency, there's a certain type of agent. You know how the majority
yeah,
of states agent. Just let you become, you just, it's just automatically, you can just throw anybody on there as registered agent?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Now, Petita, do you remember that name for another type of agent? And you can only be bonded or insured or something in about three states.
Really?
One happens to be Las Vegas. I can never think of the damn name of this particular agent. This agent allows jurisdiction, Babylon, on all
okay.
50 whatever fucking states.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this is the agent that gets jurisdiction over all these states. Not like your registered agent in every state corporation's filings.
Right.
But just, you know what I'm saying, because I can throw my mom as registered agent
right.
on the corporation. But it's one particular agent that has to be, it's like it's something agent. It's a compound word.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a certified agent or whatever, a state agent. I don't know what the fuck that shit is. But, and I tell you what, anybody can become this agent by doing a particular filing. However, a lawyer is also one. automatically. If they're an attorney, they automatically won.
Usually you want to get an attorney to get your CUSIP number and do all of that stuff for you. And what he's talking about is one kind of bond, because the dudes I deal with who travel the world and do this for real.
No, no, no. Don't define what the fuck I was saying. Just say what you're going to say.
The guys that I deal with who travel the world and do this for real and make money and come back with millions of dollars, who deal with Japanese bonds and government bonds.
That's what I want to know.
And all those different things like that. Those are backed by real people who have assets, who have commodities and that. They ain't dealing with no insurance. They're dealing with real commodities and things.
Commodities, yes.
Right, but that's not what we're talking about. As far
that's what
as
I'm
insurance.
Talking about. I'm talking about bond. When you, that's what I said. When you talk
we're
about
the commodities, the bond
that's
that is
what
backed
I was
by the securities.
Say,
we want
trying
that
to say
information.
Is, what he was describing
is
something he's describing
it,
the general service.
We talking about a bond backed by security and not a hedge backed by commodities.
No, he's talking. See, what he's talking about is the general service.
And all that derivative shit is commodities. You right, Don. You talking about a bond backed by securities. And the one thing that the brother yourself ain't told nobody is that in 1913, it was an act called the Clayton Act, based off of the Sherman Act, that stopped any kind of monopolies. So he mentioned 1913. And then in 1933, that was the Securities Act, Commission Act,
right,
where they started back
no,
in
no, 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 the Securities
then
Act.
Then in 1954, it started the Uniform Commercial Code. So the Uniform Commercial Code coming after the Securities Commission would be a weaker position than doing what you're talking about, Dad, backing money with securities and not using commodities or commercialized products, because commercials are fucking fake. It means commerce at the root, but when you look up commercial, a commercial is something they do to advertise. Now look up Uniform Commercial Code and see ain't it all based on advertising.
The Uniform Commercial Code is for dealing with negotiable instruments and products and commodities, goods and services.
A slave. That's what you're talking about as a Uniform Commercial Code UCC advocate. When you're talking about securities, you're talking about fucking money management. You're talking about the study of wealth.
Okay, well, okay. Let me ask you this.
You're
talking
about
real
about
shit. This, then why is Article 8 and Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code dealing with securities?
The
Article
only reason why
Article
8 and Article
9
are
securities transactions. What are you talking about?
Dodo?
Say what?
The only reason why commercial code exists is because securities existed first. You couldn't have a uniform commercial code.
No, that's not true. That's not true. The law merchant, before it became the uniform commercial code.
I told you where
the fucking
pay that, man.
Okay,
let me
was
invented in 1954.
No, it was not invented. The law merchant, it was called the law merchant before that. They took that because after 1933, when they bankrupted the country and there was no money, they adopted all the principles from the law merchant and incorporated it into the Uniform Commercial Code. The Uniform Commercial Code is not new. The name of it is new, but the law merchant itself is not new. It's been around thousands of years. And, the reason they created it, because we didn't have any more gold and silver to operate under, they had to operate in negotiable instruments. All the UCC is the law of negotiable instruments. That's it. That's all it is. You're just dealing with negotiable instruments.
I can agree with some facts, and UCC basically is the law of negotiable instruments based on commercial products. Because what the instrument based on? Commercial fucking products.
Everything in this country is running through labor.
Listen, Youssef. I'm going to give you a linguistical link then. Commodity. D-O-M-M. Hold up. Commodity.
How is this germane to what we're discussing? Because I don't want to get into looking in, doing etymology and all of that.
Youssef.
I mean, that's
Youssef.
Fine, but that's not germane to what we're discussing.
Shut the fuck up. Just more than you on the phone. Then I'm talking to other people. The root of the word commodity is C-O-M-M. The root of the word commercial is C-O-M-M. The root of the word commerce is C-O-M-M. The root of the word common law or community or communism is C-O-M-M. the root of the word communion in the Bible is C-O-M-M. So now, I'm telling you that the word commercial that they're using in the Uniform Commercial Code obviously came a lot later than the word common. Can you agree? Common law.
I mean,
that's the word commercial came from common law.
I mean, you got the UCC does derive from the common law. So, I mean, just following that
Don't tell me that UCC come from some bullshit what you just mentioned earlier about some leeches law or some shit like that. When I know
the
that
law
it comes
merchant.
From common law,
the law, it was
and I know
the law merchant.
That, and I know that all common law based on admiral law. So now
Wait a minute.
No,
okay.
I don't need to wait.
The common law and admiralty law
do
not have anything to do with each other.
They
have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Please, Don, please. So anyway, the UCC, when you look at UCC, you're talking about commercial codes, not even law. So when niggas say UCC law, tell them law is a lie because that's a code.
That's
and
correct.
A code
that's not law.
That
I agree
people,
with that.
A code is something that people agree to follow.
That's correct.
It's
contract
an agreement.
Law. I agree with
it's
that. It's
an
agreement.
Man,
it's
I
an
don't
agreement.
Know correct me why the fuck I talk, though, man.
It's
what
an agreement.
The fuck is
I mean,
that?
I'm not seeing where you're
why
going with this,
you
though.
I don't need no fucking echo, dog. I got
why
this
what?
Shit, man. I know how to fucking express my shit. You wait on your fucking turn, man. That's some bullshit. You might
right,
be fucking open.
I don't know where you're going. I'm trying to see what your point is, what you're trying to say. I'm
not
understanding what you're trying to say.
Why are you fucking motherfucking talking, dog? If you want to see right, what my point is, you're going to be fucking
listening. Go ahead.
You call all that Bible shit talking about niggas with an ear. Listen, you ain't got no fucking ears. In or out.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was productive conversation.
Now it's turned into an intellectual. Okay. Penis.
Because somebody's trying to discredit me and it ain't going to work because I just don't have book knowledge. I got experience.
Right.
I'm experiencing this. So all that's cool what he's saying, but I done been through it. It's not I read it in a book somewhere. I spend thousands of hours in law library. He just said the common law and admiralty are from the same thing. Anybody can go get something, clerk's practices or anything like that, or some expert, and they'll show that the admiralty courts and the common law courts used to war with each other over their jurisdictions and everything. That's a fallacy in what he's saying. But I'm not going to get into that conversation because you got a lot of brothers out here who are teaching things.
Everybody.
Huh? It is confusing.
You're confusing everybody.
It is confusing.
I'm not confused. I'm following the dialogue quite well because I'm very established in the information. So I can understand this quite well. If you can't get a book and when they throw out words, look it up. I can follow both dialogues quite well.
Masses can understand it, though.
But fuck the masses. This ain't even for all you niggas. Just get a fucking book. You're not going to be able to understand this language any fucking way unless you have some type of definitionary in front of you. You're not even going to understand what the fuck they're talking about.
Get you a law book out there. What I did, how I started. And I started, and different people got different areas of expertise and all this stuff. And that's why I deal with a lot of different people, because no man knows all this information. For anybody to even pretend like they all this know all this information would be like you could step in on the side of a law library and say you read all those books. And I know you're a goddamn liar. You haven't read all those books. I've been locked up and read every day, all day, to acquire all the information that I have. And I started with these words, bond, legal fiction, promissory note, securities, reading all of Article 9 of the UCC, reading all – most of these people on the phone ain't even read Article 9 or Article 8 of the UCC, and they talk about dealing with securities. And I don't understand how you're going to deal with securities. You ain't even read it. How you going to deal with a security?
Stop.
And that's
what
regulating security.
Online. Your mic is open, whoever pushing one.
So, you know, that's what all I'm saying. All I know is the jurisdiction that these courts are operating under is admiralty, and admiralty don't have nothing to do with the law of the sea like they pretend. It has to do with the subject matter, which is commerce. Everything is under a commercial umbrella.
Damn.
Babylon.
Yeah, I'm here.
Damn what?
He just said, I know that admiralty law don't have nothing to do with no water. It's got everything to do with commercial law.
No, I didn't say that. I said that it don't have
okay,
anything to do with
that.
The law. Listen, the law of the sea is dealing with the subject matter. The subject matter of admiralty is commerce. That they try to play everybody with the sea, the law of the sea. Yes, that is the definition of it, the law of the sea. But when you go and read a law book and go read the experts on it and they start explaining it to you, they'll say that, yes, this is what people think, but it's dealing with subject matter. 90% of commerce goes over the water.
Okay, I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. I'm going to let everybody in on a secret. I'm going to let everybody in on a secret. I've been holding this because I know you ain't going to know. So I'm just going to say, admiral law, the root admiral is maro, which is deals with maritime or marine. Maritime law, right?
Mary deals with the sea. That's what the word means, sea.
Hey, man, can I finish, man? No, don't deal with maritime law. That's where you get lost at.
The word,
because
the word
don't deal with the
means sea.
It don't deal with the fucking sea, man. Let me finish, man. Fuck you, man. It deals with time, everybody. Maritime law deals with time. And the word mari is the word more. And the word mari is the word more. And the moors were navigators. And by night and by day, we sailed the fucking seas. And we traded commerce. Some people call it pirates. Some people call it marauders, moors. This is who we are. So we started trading and commerce. So that's where uniform commercial code come from. That's where that code, not law, but that code that people agreed to follow come from. There you go.
The word myrrh, as he was just saying, is like where you get the word merchant. And the word mermaid. And the
nigga,
word
you
mer-
never heard of what the fuck I just said.
I
now
just
you
heard what you
try
said,
to
but the word.
Or add some shit to what I said. Nobody on the fucking phone, including your ass, didn't never know that the word Maori time dealt with time, and that's money management.
I didn't.
You
know what? You know what? And
know
just because you said,
Maori,
let me say something.
Related
let
to
me,
the
let,
word
let, more, this is what I do. This is what
Egyptian.
I do. This is what I do.
Egyptian,
listen,
and ain't
listen,
even
listen,
no fucking
listen,
soap
listen,
your
listen.
Fucking 1700
I don't deal, listen,
years
listen,
of fucking
listen, I don't deal with that because, number one, I don't know where you got that from, but I'm not saying that it's not legitimate information. It could very well be. When I'm on the phone, what I'm doing is everybody can go out there and you can get the Clerk's Practice by John Hall. Which is the jurisdiction
yeah,
and which
that's
is what
from the crack.
I'm trying
been
to finish. I'm trying
to all my fucking
okay.
life.
Which
when
is,
I'm on the phone start, correcting what the cracker saying.
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying
to
give you the history of admiralty because these all our laws.
You ain't trying
moment,
to give me no motherfucking history because
fuck
when I told
you,
you in 1914,
you're
just
you motherfucking dick sucker, nigga.
And I told you in 1933 the Security Commission Act.
Yeah, get off this phone, dog. I can't talk to this motherfucker.
Before, I'm
trying to talk and everything.
He's going
to keep on talking to me and everything. He's interrupting me.
So you ain't giving
when
me
is
no
this cat come on the phone? Man, I'm talking. I'm coming from a law book.
Babylon, why don't you shut the fuck up, Babylon? God damn.
I understand your beef, bitch, but I know you want to be that nigga,
no,
bitch, so stay out of it.
No, you know the man. Shut the fuck up, nigga. God damn.
I'll let you be the peacekeeper.
I'm trying to learn something, and you keep jacking off in the middle of it.
There is a book that you can get. When I'm coming from, because you're more than welcome to cite your sources for everything that you're saying, because I'm a student of Egypt and Samaria as well. But I don't get into all
that.
I
want to talk money, man.
I don't get into all of that discussion.
What I try, you talking about a nigga jacking off? You the lamest fucking nigga in
what
the
I
world.
Try,
why the fuck
what,
you gonna be named Jack and then say a nigga jacking off in the conversation? Learn to use your fucking name right, man. Stop being stupid. And I don't want to go through no Sumerian bullshit with you, man. We talking money and business. Let's stick to that. We were talking admiral law, maritime law.
I'm trying to get into
law,
that if you quit interrupting me. I'm trying to be courteous, for real. I'm trying to be courteous.
I'll be courteous. Be truthful.
I've tried to be courteous and truthful. But
no,
first,
don't
before,
be courteous.
Before I can
be truthful,
I got to be courteous because I got to wait for you to shut the fuck up before
if
I can talk.
You be curt with somebody, you being.
You know, I
got
to wait for you to talk because you read the definition of bond, and then you try to pass that off to everybody out there listening like that was the meaning of the word, and you're reading the second sense of the word, and I'm sitting there reading it. The definition of bond means obligation or promise. It's just that simple, real short and sweet. That's what a bond is. All right. Now, when we talk about admiralty law, because this country that we're in, the country that we are operating off of, but when you go in these courts, what they are operating off of, with the Securities and Exchange Commission, all the laws, rules, and regulations that they are operating off of, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go into all this other stuff where the Egyptians created this, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is germane to what we are discussing right now. And what we're discussing right now is contract law, private law, status law, tort law, property law, constitutional law, criminal law, administrative law, substantive law, procedural law, remedial law, positive law. These different spheres of law that each have a history that is associated with it, that these lawyers and attorneys who are operating in these different spheres of law, that they abide by, because they are not going to engage you in a conversation when you come up into their office that the history of this word come from the Egyptians or some shit like that.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
They're not going to be talking like that. Admiralty is the jurisdiction of admiralty is commerce, commercial. It deals with bonds. Everything in admiralty deals with bonds. You can get a document called the Clerk's Praxis by John Hall, who's looked at as the authority. The Clerk's Praxis is one of the reasons they had a Revolutionary War in this country. What's coming out of that book? And you can read that book. Anybody can get it right now and Google it on the internet. And it will explain to you everything. And then you can go to a law library and pull out an American jurisprudence. And you will see the similarity between that book, what it's teaching, and what they're talking about today. Because that's what I do. I go read the historical documents first, and then I go read the current and contemporary documents to see has anything changed. Because one thing about it is principles do not change. Principles never change. Just the methodology and what they are doing is changing, but not the principles. So I go and study the principle behind what I'm doing first, and then we can go into any type of methodology we want to engage into next.
Well,
but to come
I
on
really
this phone,
want to talk about
and you ain't never been before a judge.
And securities and, you
so,
know, that type
yeah,
of thing.
To come on this phone, you ain't never been before a judge. You ain't never been through any of these things that you're talking about, but then come on and try to challenge somebody or try to put down what they're saying
like
to me is exercising, you know, stupidity.
And I would like for that nigga Jack to get on the phone and tell us what the fuck he just learned from what the fuck you just said.
I just gave them
tell
a book they can go and read on their own. I just told them a book that they can go and understand this for themselves.
I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to Jack. Why are you talking
about shit, that would have been a great question to ask him earlier. He fell off.
Oh, okay.
Well, he hung
well,
up.
Well, anyway, Don, back to the securities and the bonds backed by securities, Don. Like I was saying, I just say that the Securities Act started in 1934, so securities can be backed by, bonds can be backed by securities. And as far as uniform commercial count, which started in 1954, those bonds have to be backed by commodities because those are commercial items. So as of 1954, they started the uniform commercial law where bonds was backed by commercial items.
But
however,
damn, didn't what I was saying, it wasn't early when I was saying, when I was saying that the birth certificate is a securitization. Why'd you come on the phone arguing with me? I sit there and say,
I ain't even talking to you. I'm talking to Don.
All right, go ahead.
Don.
Damn.
Don, I agree. So like I was saying, Don, in 1933, securities used to be, bonds used to be backed by securities. So they still can be backed by securities. Now the situation becomes, what exactly is a security or what would qualify as a security in this day and time, Don? And what qualifies as a security in this day and time that's not a commercial
commodity, like that is what they call at the time property. I know they call property commercial property now, but property was originally real estate. So if you have an estate of land and your land is kept in an estate and not considered commercial property, then from that estate, your estate becomes your security to the bond that you write. And you can write any fucking thing you want to write, Don, from there. As long as you have a company and a property established as an estate, you
right.
can write a bond and contract with the government and other companies around the world. And that acting agent that you have has jurisdiction no matter where they go, because you're doing now international business, which is beyond UCC. What I mean by that is when you're doing business in Geneva, that's a different set of contracts than where it's at your state government.
Now, that's incorrect. UCC is international law. Look at it up, y'all. UCC is international law.
To pull them out.
Oh, my goodness.
God, damn.
Dude don't know what he's
See,
talking
when
about.
When you're dealing with somebody that's aesthetic too, Yusuf,
the
word
is international law, man. Why are you telling them people that? That's something
that
you can verify very
up,
easily.
Man.
The UCC is international law.
But you go ahead, dog. You go ahead. I'm done.
I mean, why
I'm
would
done.
You say
you
that?
You got it.
Why would you say that?
You got it. What?
The UCC is international law. It's been codified. It's the same in every country in the world. That's how countries do business with each other, through the UCC. And if anybody will go back and listen to my radio show today, I told you to form a trust, form your estate, and form your corporation, and put your estate and put your corporation into the trust.
Okay, yeah, that was my next question.
Told everybody that.
Here's my next question. Can you become an estate?
Yes, you can.
You can estate yourself.
State is an entity. There, when you deal with the IRS, because all this is for IRS, when you're dealing on the public side, everything on the public side is a fiction. Everything. You got an association. You got sole proprietorship. You got an individual. You got a company. You got a corporation. You have an estate. And you have a trust. And the highest form of activity to do business in is a trust. A private trust in particular, not a statutory trust.
So basically the question is, can you trust yourself?
Well, you got to have somebody else. When you have a trust, you got to have somebody you can trust.
But
that's
can
why it's
you
called
trust
a trust.
Yourself? That's the question. That's what I want to do.
Can run, let me
myself.
Tell you something. You can run your business out of a trust. A lot of people in the early 1900s up in Massachusetts, it's called a Massachusetts trust. They did an investigation because a lot of businessmen were operating. They weren't using corporations anymore or companies. They started using trust. You can run a business from a trust.
Right. I'm familiar with that, but I'm asking, can you trust yourself?
It's not about you trusting yourself. It's about can you trust somebody else?
No.
Because you can't
no,
be
that's
the
not,
trust
that's not what I'm
area
asking.
Of your own trust.
I'm
no,
saying.
Gun. No, Don. No, you cannot trust yourself. No.
Why you can't? That doesn't make sense.
Because a trust is property held by one person as trustee.
So wouldn't
that
be property of self? Wouldn't the real me be trusted with the straw man? Couldn't I trust
God.
My damn self? Couldn't I trust the all caps?
Yeah, the name.
I know you can. The same way, if you can trust your, if you can, same way you register your name or copyright your name or incorporate your name, you can motherfucking trust your goddamn name.
Yeah, I agree, Don.
You can.
I just threw that
in
there. But Don, you know, you took it to a different level on me.
I know I did.
Because what he was talking about was trusting. When you first said it, I thought you were talking about can you trust yourself, meaning can you put a trust on yourself.
Yes.
When you took it to the level of, yeah, that's right. Yes, you can put a trust on yourself as you're talking about the straw man in all caps. That person is entrusted to you at all times.
You can form.
A person should have a trust
on the all.
Right, because check out the definition Pretty put in the chat room. An equitable or beneficial right or title to land or other property held for the beneficiary by another person in whom resides the legal title of ownership, recognized and enforced by courts of chancery.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, if we look at the trust, well, the birth certificate, it has, I'm trying to figure out, because it has your mom's name, your dad's probably, and you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And then your mom or your dad or whoever the fuck went and signed them Social Security Administration forms, which allows you an account number and all that other type of stuff. So I'm trying to figure out, could it possibly be that the beneficiary by another person in whom resides the legal title or ownership of you, would it be like your beneficiary would be like your parents, according to this statement? Would it?
Well, it was just supposed to be done, but the beneficiary that turned into the government, because the key word is Social Security, and the key word is security. That's the same thing that money really is. It's
yeah, but technically speaking, but you still the you okay? Then in that case, then you still the trust.
No. What y'all doing is, first of all, y'all mixing public and private, because on the public side, the United States is the trustee, is the trustee. On the private side, they're the beneficiary. You the trustee on the private side because your straw man can't do anything for himself. You're responsible for that. But when you come into the public, you are a beneficiary. That's what they do. They're giving you benefits and privileges. And they are the trustee.
No, that ain't what a beneficiary is. No, that's not receiving Social Security benefits and becoming a payee or a beneficiary of Social Security, that's not the type of beneficiary we're discussing here. We're discussing somebody who has a trust in place, and they stand to benefit if anything happens. They stand to benefit from any transaction or anything happens. Man, I can't out-talk you, man.
Wait a minute. Say that again, Babylon.
I was just saying, we talking about the type of trust where a person stands to benefit like a beneficiary, like from an insurance policy,
right,
becoming a beneficiary, not as a payee from Social Security receiving welfare and
you're
benefits.
Not, wait
like
a minute, wait a minute. When
about.
You are dealing with Social Security, you are a beneficiary. That is not a payee. That the Social Security is called a Social Security Trust Account. It is a trust.
Man,
Listen, man. This is why you got a constructive trust when you come into a courtroom. And that's why the trustee always has a fiduciary duty to perform. Trust law is some of the most strictest law that you can get into. And
see,
that trustee.
Let me say this, though, Don.
Sure.
The word trust really don't have shit to do with court. That's why it's for estate banking trust.
It does.
I know, Joe write me, but no, I'm not an artist.
bass singer. I'm a gangster rapper, throwing up the middle finger to them square Rubik's cubes who don't smoke and use. I'm a set dope boy, and I got a short fuse. I get kinda hypey when I'm going off a little gin. You don't like it, say hello to my little friend. Rather tat tatter, it really don't matter. I push a hard line, cross it, niggas don't scatter. I'm not the mad rapper, I'm the rapper gone bad. Recording on Pro Tools at the pad. I get a gang of bad. Boy, I'm a staff. Sideshow, joke in the cab.
I'm a boss,
I'm a boss.
Tycoon,
tycoon.
Dipped in sauce,
in sauce.
I flow,
I flow.
Tycoon,
tycoon.
What it cost?
I'm a boss,
I'm a boss.
Tycoon,
tycoon.
Dipped in sauce,
in sauce.
I flow,
I flow.
Tycoon,
tycoon.
Yeah. What you know about a 600 V12 CL spinning on them sweet wheels? Dirty as hell, like fuck a detail. Still knock a female, Mac that bitch till she break her lead nails on the track in the TL. Yuck mouth. First week out, 80,000 on the street sales. Now I'm CEO, that's $7 on the retail. Bitch, I got niggas popping they collars, popping E-pills, popping them bottles and popping them cowboys with the heat tail. Bitch, I get my ice from Avianis, my New York Italiani. He bluffed me with the Spanish mommy. Bitches belly dancing like a swami. But fuck him, I'm too cocky, popping that dime, he smoking my broccoli. Cause I'm a $1 million man like Ted DiBiase. The feds see me, watch me, baby Liberace. The wrist stay rocky, the whip stay saucy. Rims glossy, we're backing that Drake beside me, call me Frosty. Frosty the Stoke Man, the Oakland Dope Man.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.